about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah!
Due to the nature of this program, there may be some strong language. If you are easily offended, please switch off now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
There are a myriad of reasons we don't do Dance Party Fridays as much as we used to.
Yes.
Not going to get into all that right now.
Yes.
But we had something happen recently. They gave us a reason, I think, to revisit today.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to f*** me?
Bingo.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
What up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
These nuts.
Roll another one.
I'm gonna be the one to say it. That sounds awesome.
Just like the other one.
Which is cool.
This one seems to be about.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Keep on dancing.
Roll. Roll another one.
And here are the monkeys.
Just like the other one.
What just happened, you guys?
This one seems to be about.
All butts are good.
And I don't have another cent.
The two words I chose today were God and thanks.
And the legend continues.
Just pass it around.
Really?
But don't bother that joint, my friend.
These nuts.
But just pass it.
And now,
we're looking for individuals from the Los Angeles area who are currently experiencing an outbreak of genital warts.
Our feature presentation.
Is that what we're looking for?
I don't think so.
Apparently on today's show we are.
Yes. We're not. Oh. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 28th of August.
If there were a way that you could see your tweets before you hit publish, like look at them before they go to the internets so that everybody else sees them.
What are you talking about?
That would be so great. Like this, it's so dumb. It's such a default in Twitter that you have to type it blindly and you're not allowed to look at it before it posts.
Can't see if there's missing links. Can't see if there's misspellings. You just have to
fly
blind. Just press it.
Just got to fly blind. It just seems like that's a terrible plan. Look, I'm the idiot who bought Twitter stock when it became available. If I'd have paid closer attention and realized you can't see your tweets before you post them, which is what I'm assuming is the case at your house, Kevin.
You can see your tweets before you post them. You can check for misspellings and bad links. And I'm bad.
Well, that would just beat it out.
It sort of did, yeah.
What happened?
You all right?
Okay. What happened, monkey?
All right. So I was gonna post something last night. And I posted it, and I'm not positive, but I think everything was spelled correctly. But then I said, hey, I just thought of a way to make it funnier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then I deleted it, and then I put it back up with the funnier comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so far so good.
And did not necessarily check the spelling the second time. So then it went back up, and there may have been a spelling error.
Okay.
And then I took it down, and then Allie tweeted, give it one more try or something like that.
Yeah, one more shot.
So I tried it, and it didn't – there was
– What was wrong with the next time?
Now you had
a chance to have a second pass.
I mean, I said he's, H-E apostrophe S, but it actually read hers, H-E-R.
Apostrophe S.
All right, so close.
So that happened. So then I was like, well, you know what? That's close enough.
Right.
I mean, really, how specific are people getting on my spelling? Now, I wish it was right, but don't get me wrong. But do I want to take it back down?
Look, that's close enough got you into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's how you've conducted your business.
So I took it back down and put it back up.
Uh-huh. So the one tweet ended up having to be posted four times.
Well, I mean, technically, sure.
Technically.
I see it all as one act.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
So it's performance art, really.
It's performance art, right.
Everybody else, you see a tweet for 2 seconds, that's all you get. With
right.
Kevin, it's like 20 minutes of entertainment.
You can follow along the story.
Okay.
Dog.
Speaking of technology, real fast, let me do this story, and then we'll get into today's all-new Kevin Bean Show for a Friday. This woman is the opposite of me. Her name is, it's spelled Marine, but she's French, so what do you think it is? You think it's like Marinet or something like that?
Not good with
Richard.
French.
She is 39 years old, and she has made history in France because she has been awarded a disability grant because she claims to suffer from debilitating allergies to electromagnetic radiation from everyday gadgets such as cell phones.
Is that a thing?
Well, it is called electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and it has been very controversial in the medical world because most doctors say, and they've done double-blind scientific trials on this, that they have not found any link to symptoms. They think it's all in the patient's head. They think it's all just a phobia about technology. The condition is not recognized as a medical disorder in most countries, including France, by the way, but sufferers insist that exposure to mobile phones, Wi-Fi routers, televisions, and other gadgets cause them anything from mild discomfort to life-ruining disability.
Did you say she put in for it or she got it?
Both.
Like, did they accept? They accepted
wow.
that?
Yes, she applied for it and she got it. Right. Scientific studies have found no evidence linking electromagnetic exposure to the symptoms that include tingling, headaches, fatigue, nausea, or palpitations. So she applied for it in the southern city of Toulouse and got a disability allowance of around 800 euros per month for 3 years. They accepted her symptoms, prevented her from working, but they did stop short of recognizing electromagnetic hypersensitivity as an illness. But this ruling does set a legal precedent for thousands of people, so it is considered a breakthrough. This just reminds me so much of on Better Call Saul, of Michael McKean,
yeah.
His character that he plays, Saul's brother, who covers himself in tinfoil basically to go outside because of the phone lines that are out there.
By the way,
won't have a phone, won't have electricity in his house.
If this is a thing, we work it with a lot of electronics in here.
Yes.
I mean, this is we should be out for life.
No, this and the reason I say that the reason I say
that was
Richard
awesome. Oh, sorry,
that would be awesome. The reason I say that Miss Richard is my opposite is because I get the heebie-jeebies if I get too far away from technology.
Yeah, you do
because nature blows. So she's going to be sitting at home with getting that check every month, and she moved to a in the mountains in a renovated barn without electricity. So she's out away from phone lines and away from Wi-Fi and just away from anything that she says will make her sick. Some believe that it may be triggered by the so-called nocebo effect, which is a placebo effect in reverse where people feel unwell because they believe they have been exposed to something harmful. So how about that?
I don't know. I would think our company would go, okay, come on in.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I mean, I guess the court was being sympathetic to her. I mean, look, even if it's, what's the term, psychosomatic, when you're make yourself sick, even if that's the case, you're still sick.
You're still sick, yeah.
You're still, it still feels just as bad as if you had the thing.
Because
your brain
you don't.
Is very, very powerful. But to her, it feels like she does.
Right, but she's crazy. Right? Are we all on the same page here?
Such a sympathetic ear that you can lend to
is
the
this
people.
A scam or not? What's your gut?
I would say it's a scam, yeah, but...
Bean?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think she applied for the disability. There's, again, not enough information, but I'm going to take the article at face value to say that she felt unwell and she believed it was because of the technology. And if she feels healthier and stronger being away from the technology, fine.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Beecher, shall we?
What are the chances of what you've just given me is just a blizzard of bullshit?
This is pretty high, actually. Actress Sarah Shahi returns to the show.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Sarah Shahi and Steve Howie will be in studio with us. Very excited about that. She's on Ray Donovan. How many episodes are left of Ray Donovan?
I think we're only like five in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought we were 6 or 7. All right, good.
Maybe.
I was like, well,
who cares?
Gonna,
it's so good.
Gonna, I know, I agree. Donald Trump is back in the news. What a surprise. I'll tell you what he's done recently. Neil Brennan, comedian in the studio with us today. Very excited about that.
So smart guy. So smart, so funny. Really looking forward to that.
So smart guy.
He's so smart guy. We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have the MTV Video Music Awards this weekend, so we have some of our top award show moments. We were starting to recount them in the office after the show yesterday. There's a lot of them.
You mean from our show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Centered around award shows like the MTV VMAs where we go get interviews, and sometimes they don't go necessarily well. And then we added Beer Mug to the mix.
Right.
So we're going to count down some of those for you. And Bean, I think this happened after you hung up yesterday, but we were talking about baseball, and I was making fun of it like I do. And he stepped up, took center stage, and just started to tell us that baseball...
Who are you talking about?
Muggs. Muggs. Okay. Beer Mug.
You didn't say it. Go ahead.
That baseball players are the best athletes out of all professional athletes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Does that surprise
Muggs
you?
Thought that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Best athletes. Better than football, better than NBA...
That surprises me. I mean, obviously there's a great deal of stamina involved in their job, but I think that athletes from other sports would be more likely to be able to play baseball than the other way around.
I believe his exact words were, "I'm going to blow all your minds."
He did
the information
that,
that he has to give us. So I'm excited.
Mind blown.
That's about it. Well, let's wait. I'm not sure he's going to deliver on that promise. But that's in about a half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
There are lots of reasons for you to go to KROQ.com. One of them is if you like concerts to, well, I could have said that differently, couldn't I? Free tickets to upcoming concerts, including KROQ bands like All Time Low and 21 Pilots, Social Distortion, Alt-J, so much more. We're giving away tickets to all of those through KROQ.com. Just go on in and get the details and... good luck. It's Friday morning. Ralph is here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Can I explain real quickly why you guys are just the best in broadcasting?
Sure. Again?
Yes. It was a huge chunk of this morning's show already given to Kevin's tweet. Oh, it was hilarious. It was so funny. It was wrong. And it was so bad a thing he did. Okay, so moving on. Here's the thing to the listening audience. They might like to know what the tweet was.
Well,
and
I mean,
it doesn't matter. Of course it matters.
That's not the point. That's not the point because it'll be a different tweet tomorrow and a different one on Monday.
Yeah, but when you're talking about something, the listener would like to know what it is you're talking about.
Well, okay, that would have helped.
I'm thinking
that may have helped.
Just say from a listening point of view, from the person on the other end of the radio, they're like, what was the thing? What was the tweet then?
It was
that
very
it was
important.
So funny that he did wrongly.
It was a gif of... a cameraman wiping out Usain Bolt on a Segway.
Okay.
And, so
you wrote a tweet about that and then did not
and
attach
then I put it up,
the
oh,
GIF?
No, I put it up. But then I thought of a punchline that I should put in there about Paul Blart, so then I took it back down.
Right. And then there was no GIF with the punchline?
Well, I mean, perhaps, yeah.
And then how did hers come into it?
Then because the punchline was, he's no Paul Blart. And somehow I spelled that wrong, and I put up hers.
And then hers, no Paul Blart?
Yeah, and then
that's funny. Now I'm laughing because I know what the content was. Hers, no Paul Blart
right.
is a line that will live in legend.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it needs to live in legend.
Now that we've announced it.
I'm not
but
positive.
But you're talking about it on the radio, you go, and then it's funny how we misspelled that thing. So anyway, coming up today, we need this information. We, the listeners, demand.
I don't think they need the information.
We're getting live notes.
We need to know.
Look, I'm with Bean.
Bean, the guy who doesn't get enough information from his little news stories, held back the most important information in his comedy segment.
But there is something to be said for it. It's going to be something else today.
Hers no Paul Blart.
Well, that's what I wrote.
I'm much happier now than
H-E-R
I have hers no Paul Blart.
Apostrophe S.
Hers no Paul Blart.
H-E-R apostrophe S.
With an apostrophe S.
Hers no Paul Blart.
Yep.
Is what was written.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That is funny now that I hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
that's
what I'm
good.
Saying.
And then a listener tweets back, hers no Paul Blart. I was like, damn it.
See?
So it's funnier that way?
A punchline helps,
all right.
I'm just
saying. Let me make a note.
Punchline's
not
help.
Known for comedy. Come
punch
on.
Punchlines help. I'm going to get you a t-shirt. All right, let's talk
As
about
the great E.W. Ladbat once taught us, we're
right.
not good at this job.
Punchlines help. Well, congratulations to Mark Zuckerberg. Turns out his Facebook invention is pretty successful. People use it.
Yes, they do.
Apparently, yesterday was the first time ever that a billion people were using Facebook in a single day. A billion people were on Facebook.
In one day?
Actually, this would be Monday. Not yesterday, but Monday. That means one out of every 7 people on Earth logged into Facebook
on
Monday.
That's crazy.
Right? That he has all the power now.
Is that possible?
Go say hers, no Paul Blart. And everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Especially Kevin.
And Dave, the King of Mexico, can't get internet.
That's right.
For now 3 weeks.
So it's up, it's down.
Everybody else on Facebook.
It's in, it's out.
Guys, I'm not on the Facebook at all, as you guys know. Am I making a mistake?
Which is inexplicable to me.
I'm not.
You are the tech junkie. You can't not have every new gadget, you periscope poorly. You take advantage of all the available social media, but Facebook you avoid like the plague.
I felt like it was too. I felt like it's too much. It seems like it's too much.
Let me tell you something. I've read your tweets. It's the Twitter that's too much. Put that one aside. Pick up
really?
The Facebook. Put down
okay.
the Twitter.
Right. I mean, do you get a lot out of it? Do you guys is it worth it for you? You enjoy it?
I enjoy it a lot, but I use it different than a lot of people, which is mine is strictly for friends and family. I don't do a big public Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. So it's interaction between me and my family back east and friends and my wife's friends and things like that. So
gotcha.
It's sort of it's like a little pocket social media thing.
Kevin, how do you use it?
I have an account and I rarely mm-hmm. go there.
Mm-hmm. So,
you're not a user either, really?
I mean, I don't much, no.
So the okay, most Allie? Popular form of social
yeah,
media, ugh, blah.
No, I just don't care.
Ah, me's no Paul Blart. You think when you go to use Facebook?
Well, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Allie? Are you a Facebooker?
I have a public page, and I put something for the first time in forever about 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story.
Yeah, but then remembered why I don't go on there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why? Why don't you go on there?
I just feel like...
Again, we need the punchline.
Nope.
It's all set up.
How about if I nod?
That's a good idea.
I just feel like people on Facebook tend to be angrier than people on Twitter, people on Instagram. It seems like a lot of pent-up anger.
I don't know. I found plenty of anger on Twitter.
Sure. Well,
plenty of anger everywhere. Everybody's angry.
Pumpkin spice sets you off, sir.
But Paul Blart's going to fix all that for
yep.
us. And Donald Trump. There's your ticket. Trump Blart 2016.
Boom.
That'd
be pretty awesome.
All right. I don't have any time. I'm going to tell you about how Jack Nicholson stole David Spade's girlfriend. The next Showbiz Beat. It's a funny story.
Wow.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Luis Guzman. How great is he? We love him. He is 59 years old today. Daniel Stern is 58. Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom, 54 years old. Shania Twain turns 50. Jack Black, 46 years old today. He's the best.
He is the best. Mm-hmm.
Jason Priestley, also 46 years old. Armie Hammer, oh, he's so dreamy. It's the Lone Ranger. It's Ilya Kuryakin. He's twins. He's everything. He's 29 years old. Florence of Florence and the Machine, Florence Welch, celebrates her 29th birthday. Reality star Alana Thompson. Oh, you may know her better as Honey Boo to the mother-loving Boo.
Wow.
She is 10 years old today.
And washed up.
Yep.
Career's over. Stays behind her.
She's clocking it at 270. Yeah, she's got a lot of cheese balls, but not much else. Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yep.
She's got a lock on her bedroom door. I know that.
Wow. This one south real fast.
You ain't lying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Talk about it. Shouldn't talk about it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:07.
Really? Beer mug? Again?
Hell yeah.
See, he still works here?
Hell yeah.
A, he still works here. B, he's still magic.
Okay, what's going
on? I know we've talked to him recently at this time, so risking burnout. I was mocking baseball like I do yesterday because a bunch of people in the office, Dave the King of Mexico, are Dodger fans. Mm-hmm. And so they put on the baseball game
in the office because they can't get it at home because of the whole Time Warner thing. And it always just cracks me up that, you know, oh, the ball got a little dirt on it. Can we have another one? And then they give him another one. He throws it back to the pitcher. And it always cracks me up that they warm up before the game, and then they run out to the field, and then they warm up again. And then the batter comes out, and he warms up. And then there's an on-deck circle where they warm up. And it just cracks me up because I say, you know, if they were moving, if they had any activity level, they wouldn't have to warm up 18 to 30 times a game. It's absurd how much warm-up there is. So I was just mouthing off about that. And Muggs, what did you tell us? Hold on. It's time for Muggs Explains Things.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug has no brain.
Come on.
That's what we used to think, but now Mug is so bright. He has the answer, also a pretty good dancer, has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in. Beer mug explains things. We are dumb dumbs. Come on and tell us how it is, cause you are such a whiz. It's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
All right. Wow. I didn't know I had the cure for cancer.
You don't. Okay. So, Mugs, you say these words. Baseball players are better athletes...
are the best athletes of all the professional sports. And I have tons of
proof. Hold that thought. Bean, how does that strike you? And I know you love baseball.
I do love baseball. I think it's absurd.
Okay. As many people do, by the way, when I say that.
Yeah.
When I try to tell them that.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think there are two things going on here. I think there are those who mock baseball players as not being athletic at all because a lot of the game does involve standing around. I think those people are wrong. But I also think, unless Beer Mug convinces me otherwise, I also think maybe he's overstepping it as well.
And I've always heard that baseball is the hardest, hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in all of professional sports. I've heard
that
since I was a kid. Like, that's a known statistic. But
that
how
be
does
true,
that
but...
make you the best athlete?
All right. Hitting a baseball coming at you at speeds of over 90 miles per hour is insanely difficult. You have to have hand-eye coordination, timing, rhythm.
Sure.
You have to have leg strength, upper body strength. You have to incorporate those all at the same time to hit a ball. Now, to catch that ball is even harder because the ball is coming off the bat faster than it was pitched at you. It's coming up off the bat over speeds of 100 miles per hour. And the timing and reaction...
Wait, hold on. Are the players standing right in front of the bat?
Yeah, 2 feet away.
Well,
right
no,
in their face.
But when they're in the infield... There are balls coming at them, and they have to react. The reaction time has to be spot on to make a diving stop, catch, and defensively, have you ever seen an outfielder track down a ball?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, I have.
You know how much hand-eye coordination and athleticism that requires? You have to be looking over your shoulder while running backwards into a wall, changing your head direction over the left or right shoulder.
Hold on.
6-year-olds do it.
You have to change your head direction?
Okay, I'm not talking about Little League. And yes, you do. You have to have the right timing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right strength. And you don't have time to think. This has to be natural motion, natural movement. Now, I have some examples of how baseball players are the most elite athletes of all the professional sports. Okay. You ever see Paul Pierce, the NBA player, throw out a first pitch? Yeah, it happened. And you know what happened? It was garbage. He had no ability to throw a ball to a person 60 feet away.
Right.
And he's in the NBA.
Right.
Okay? Hard. You know why? Throwing a baseball is hard. It takes practice. It takes skill. It takes precision.
Might I suggest something?
Yeah.
A lot of baseball players might have problems making baskets as well. It's because they play a different sport.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Justin Turner, the man, he used to be the utility guy for the Dodgers. Now he's the permanent third baseman.
There's giant beard guy?
Yes, big red beard, red turn. There's a video of him dunking a basketball like Kobe Bryant. Like, you would think Justin Turner was in the NBA. You know why? Because baseball's harder than basketball. And
I can't right
and,
now.
And no, baseball athletes are more elite. I'm telling you.
Bugs,
look,
yes, being baseball lover.
of course, there's anecdotal evidence of specific players who are two-team players. I mean, two-sport players. You know, there's Russell Wilson played baseball, played football. It's really good at both of them. There are athletes who do that. But all I'm saying is baseball is very difficult to play. Those guys are great athletes. I think a hockey player could learn how to play baseball way before a baseball player could learn how to play hockey.
Well, that brings me to my next point. Hockey players are the second top of all the professional sports.
Okay, but this isn't what we're talking about.
But back to my example. Okay. There was
Wait, at what point is our mind blown? Is it supposed to already happen?
Not yet.
Even if baseball is hard, and it is, and you're giving a lot of compelling evidence that baseball is a difficult sport to play, it doesn't mean it's more difficult to play or harder to play than basketball or hockey or football.
It's the most difficult. Now, I know, like,
let me just say something.
Yeah.
Difficult, golf is difficult.
Sure.
It doesn't mean they're the best athletes. Difficult does not equal best athletes.
Yeah, but baseball requires more athleticism than golf. All right, Kevin, you're in the outfield for the Dodgers, and somebody hits a fly ball over your head, and you have to track this down. You have to run as fast as you can without even thinking about it to track down the ball using your hand and eye, not even thinking. Has to be natural.
Right. I feel like we're already repeating.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is little kids can do that. Are they
not
the best athlete?
Oh, not,
sure. Watch some Little League World Series. And go to a park.
But that's,
kids can do it.
That's relative to their age group. I'm talking about professional sports. Baseball players are the best.
Okay, how is that more difficult than a receiver on the football field who's catching the ball practically over his shoulder because he's running down the field?
A baseball player is essentially doing the same thing.
Hold on. Okay. With a defender with his hands in his face, does that happen in baseball?
The sun can get in your eyes in baseball.
The sun.
And does that receiver then have to go on the defensive and play defense? No. Baseball players are the only people required to play both offense and defense in a sport. You have to be well-rounded. You have to be able to hit a ball and hit it well and hit it a lot, right. And you have to be able to field well.
I think you're making a compelling case that baseball is tough to play. I don't think you're really doing anything to make me think it's harder than the other sports.
You know King James, King LeBron James?
I've heard of him, yes.
Video of him doing batting practice, I don't know, with some Major League Baseball team. They said he couldn't even hit a ball out of the cage during batting practice.
Right.
Yeah. How great of an athlete is he?
Irrelevant because he hasn't been doing that since he was 5 years old like baseball players have.
I can answer your question. How great of an athlete is he? He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
He doesn't play baseball.
Can't play baseball. If he was a great athlete, he'd be able to play baseball.
So is that the mind-blown part? Because we're running out of time.
No.
At what point do our minds
get
blown?
Ready? Okay. The Entertainment and Sports Programming Network wrote an article proving these points of how...
What are you talking about?
ESPN wrote an article about how baseball players are the most elite athletes. So ESPN knows what they're talking about, right?
I got some compelling arguments against that, but...
I'm just saying, I mean...
So you're blowing our minds is that ESPN one time claimed something.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and no one else does, really.
Okay.
I mean,
does it bother you, Muggs?
Yeah.
And I hate baseball. I'm just putting that right up front. I make fun of it all the time. Okay, I get it. A lot of other people love it. Fine. I hope you're happy. Bean loves baseball.
Yeah,
Dave loves baseball.
Yeah.
Christine loves baseball. All of these people disagree with you. Does that worry you at all?
No, because I have the facts to back it up, Kevin. They're not looking at the cold, hard facts. They're really not. I mean, it does appear half the time baseball players are standing around just waiting for something to happen. But when that time comes for something to happen, the most incredible amount of athleticism has to take place in order for them to complete a play of all the sports. They have to use every single thing in their body to make a play in baseball.
There's not much cardio in baseball, though. That's got to be considered part of athleticism. I don't think baseball
players
can survive.
There's
they can survive
no
a quarter happened, in the NBA or a period in the NHL.
What happens when you hit a ball down the first or third baseline and you have to round the bases as fast as you can to get as many bases as you can while running?
You sat on your ass for 20 minutes before that.
Like I said, there's a lot of lulls in baseball, but when there is action, there's a lot of lulls in top athletic action.
but Muggs, in baseball. Well, there's no time where you are running for more than 5 seconds at a time.
That doesn't matter. I mean,
it does matter.
I'm saying compare
to
that's stamina. That's you're talking about stamina.
That's part of
athleticism.
Yeah, but baseball players have stamina. Have you ever seen Yasiel Puig run the bases? That guy's a beast.
The argument, and it is denied.
Oh, denied by Bean.
How dare you? You guys are wrong. You'll see.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Fear must explains things.
Franz Ferdinand. You know Franz Ferdinand. Big K-Rock kind of guy.
He's something else.
He got it right, Fran.
Hey, it's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Rob's here. That means it's time for the movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three interesting films opening up this weekend. Nothing really uplifting. They're all kind of bummers. But sometimes at the end of the summer, to get back into the swing of things, you need to be brought back to reality, man. So you need a bummer just to take all that joy that you've been experiencing all summer right out of your system. The first film is called Z for Zachariah. This is based on a very popular novel. You know how when Bean asks a woman to sleep with him and she'll say, not if you were the last man on earth.
Right. It's happened many times.
This movie explores that premise, but what if there were two men on earth and just one woman? After a disaster wipes out most of civilization, two men and a young woman are found themselves in a emotionally charged love triangle. They are the last known survivors. One woman, two men. And, of course, because it is a movie, the last woman on Earth is Margot Robbie.
All right.
And the last men on Earth are Chris Pine and Chiwetel Ejiofor. No ugly people survive this disaster. Only remarkably attractive, charismatic people.
Which is great news if you're going to repopulate the Earth. It might as well be with pretty people.
Might as well be. Here are some clips from the trailer from Z for Zachariah.
I haven't seen anyone alive for over a year.
Hey! Get out of there! Contaminated.
I want things to be good between us.
It's okay, because we got time.
I mean you no harm, man. My name's Caleb.
I've seen the way that you look at each other. If you need to figure it out, figure it out.
Jealousy doesn't see you, sir.
I love you.
You fancy wager?
It's not enough to do with radioactive contamination. You have to deal with Chris Pine showing up and stealing your woman. That's a disaster.
I don't know anything about...
That's a disaster right there.
I don't know anything about this book or this movie, but there's no scenario in which one guy doesn't kill
the other guy.
Seriously. It has to. That's the only option here, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Survival of the fittest, man. Or survival of the hottest. No Escape also opens up this weekend. No Escape stars Lake Bell, Pierce Brosnan, Owen Wilson. They are an American family, Owen and Lake and their kids and their, you know... Like you do. You're traveling overseas. You're on vacation in a Middle Eastern nightmare. And that's when a coup happens in the government, and they have to find a safe escape from an environment where foreigners are being immediately executed. That's not a good vacation.
Nope, it is not.
Expedia never warned us about that possibility when we booked our tickets. Here's some clips from the trailer of No Escape.
Welcome to Asia. You're going to love it here.
We're going to die here. Listen to me.
Where's Lucy?
Lucy! Get out of the pool! Come here!
Just get your family the hell out.
We gotta get ourselves to the American embassy.
I wanna go home.
We're gonna get there.
Ah! You're right, Ralph. A lot of bummers, man.
Pierce Brosnan plays the man who tries to help them escape. And if I'm gonna trust anybody to get me out, it's
sure.
James freaking Bond.
Sure.
Yes, come with me. Yes.
You are all going to die tonight.
And lastly, perhaps the most depressing film of the three is We Are Friends. Zac Efron plays a DJ who's trying to find the path that leads to fame and fortune, caught between a forbidden romance and the expectations of the high-pressure DJ game. He's Cole Carter, DJ. F this movie. Seriously, right? Another one of these films who pumps up the drama where there isn't any. The non-existent drama of being a club DJ. It's so hard for me! Freaking Zac Efron, freaking DJs, freaking We Are Your Friends. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Can you play Drunk in Love?
Absolutely not.
Hey, you know, this party's looking a little stiff.
So what are you saying? I need to amp it up?
I mean, you can try.
128 beats per minute. That's the magic number.
You were good out there. You really know how to work a crowd.
I mean, Cole, are we ever going to be better than this?
James thinks you're really talented.
Any successful artist, they have this moment where they stop being an admirer and they find their signature.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's the magic number. Yeah, kid, you're going out there and nobody, but you're coming back a DJ. Booch, 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 booch,
booch. And then he's like recording the sound of a nail gun and all this.
Because he's an artist, man. You don't know. He's creating the magic. Is the magic number and the magic sound.
Is this, hey, DJs seem to be popular. We should do something
this
with that.
This is exactly every dance movie that was made 10 years ago, where they created non-existent dance competitions that happen in subway tunnels and stuff. This is that for DJs now. Hey, people seem to like to go to DJs in Vegas and stuff. Can we make a movie about that? Get me Zac Efron. You're going to be somebody or nobody. It's up to you with your thing and your headphones.
It's almost like you were in the pitch meeting.
Stop this. Stop it. Stop this movie. You have an opportunity, America, to stop this trend right where it starts with this film. Draw a line in the sand. Be somebody. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Very, very exciting day. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I was just thinking about this during the break there, Kevin. The MTV Video Music Awards are this Sunday night. And this is everything you love in one show. First of all, Miley Cyrus is hosting.
Right.
And I know how you feel about her. They're world premiering the new Taylor Swift video in the pre-show.
Good.
And, because you love her too.
Sure.
And your boy Justin Bieber's back, and he's going to be performing his new song on the broadcast as well.
Now, when did he become my boy?
I know that historically you love Justin Bieber, and it's been a painful and long 3 years since his last record for you. But he's got a new – he's had that that song that's out with Skrillex that's a big hit right now. And Skrillex, in fact, produced his brand new single that dropped this morning. It's called What Do You Mean? New Justin Bieber. There's a reason we're talking about this on K-Rock, by the way. Let's hear a little bit of that new song if folks haven't heard it yet.
What do you mean? Oh, when you nod your head yes, but you want to say no. What do you mean? Hey, yeah. When you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go. What do you mean?
So here's the deal. So Bieber is back now, Kevin. He's all grown up. He's out of legal trouble. He's not going to be doing dick things anymore.
What?
I think that's fine. You can bring the music back.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Okay.
My bad. He's a grown-up now, and he's making good music, and he's going to stay out of trouble, and it's time for him to be taken seriously by everyone, including you. I think that's the message from Justin Bieber right now.
Well, let's ask him.
Okay, let's bring him up on the phone. Justin Bieber, back on K-Rock here on the Kevin Beach. It's been a long time, Biebs. How are you?
What's with all the questions, bro?
We just said, how are you? That's
I know,
it.
That's a question. Like, why are you up in my grill, yo?
It's a standard greeting. Look, I thought you were new and improved and were cooperative and we're going to get along with people now.
I am. I'm grown up Bieber now, man.
That's what you've been saying.
Don't come at me with all that jive.
I'm not sure there was any jive.
I heard jive.
Bean is incapable of jive.
I'm actually too white for jive. Okay. So you're back with this new song that came out today.
It's swaggy, eh?
Right.
I'm not sure it's swaggy, but what's the reaction been? What have you been hearing from
everybody
the believers online?
Everybody loves it, yo.
That's all you're hearing? Is it everyone loves it?
That's all I need to hear, yo.
Huh. Okay. And you're turning over a new leaf. You're mature. You're staying out of trouble.
Right.
You're making grown-up music.
This is the next stage for Justin Bieber, yo. This is me asking the important questions about life. It's not more baby, baby, baby. That's old crap. This is the new improved adult Justin Bieber. I ask important questions like, what does it mean? What do you mean?
What is that title referring to? When you ask, what do you mean? Where are you coming from?
Canada?
I don't think.
I don't think he understands
the question.
Yeah. What's the point of the song, though? When you say, what do you mean? What's it about?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
See, that just seems to be what you're doing a lot in the song, too. Like, there's a situation, then you're like, what do you mean?
Right? Thank you. Somebody understands.
What
do you mean when you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
When you want to say yes, but you shake your head no? What do you mean?
Do you think this might cause problems? Like, you just keep asking a question when really I'm saying no. What do you mean? Well, I mean no.
That's life, eh?
Okay.
That's why all my songs are going to be about life.
Okay.
And be about the important questions.
Is,
eh?
is this typical of your new music?
Yeah, it's part of the new album.
Okay.
Here's another song off the new album.
Okay. Oh, all right, nice.
What is this place? Have I been here before? Is it a restaurant or a shoe store? What is this place?
Justin, that doesn't sound like that's finished.
is that how that was supposed to sound, Justin?
Finished.
It is finished.
What is this place, man? That's the question we're all asking, yo.
What do you mean, and then what is this place?
Right.
It seems like you have a lot of questions.
Here's the next song.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Can't wait.
Hold on, Omar.
Wait, you're Omar?
Yeah, my producer, Omar.
Wow.
Omar Skrillex.
About that? Right. He's popular.
Hit it. Who is that guy? Did I go to school with him, or did he drive me in an Uber? Who's that guy? He looks familiar. Does he deliver my milk?
So you're just looking around and just making up questions is
who
all
is
that's
that
happening.
Guy? That's what we're all asking. Adults ask questions, yo.
But right. You don't seem to have answers to the most basic of questions.
Who does have answers, yo? Do you have all the answers? That's not swaggy.
It's not here's swaggy, a, Kevin. Come
hit,
on.
Another hit I think is going to be off the album.
Okay. What's happening?
Hold on.
What's happening, Justin?
Hold on, DJ. Let's kick it. Where are my keys? Where? I gotta drive to work, but I can't find my keys. Where are my keys?
Justin?
I think I hung them up, but maybe my friend borrowed them to go on a beer run. Where are my keys?
All right.
I checked all of my pockets and even on the kitchen counter. Where are my keys?
All right. We got to go, Justin. The album comes out on November the 13th, and you'll be performing on the MTV Video Music Awards this weekend. Have fun.
What do you mean?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. We were talking to Justin Bieber a few minutes ago about the MTV Video Music Awards happening this Sunday night, and it started us thinking yesterday that we have been involved in a lot of these award shows broadcasts over the years as interviewers, guys who go down and talk to people on the red carpet, talk to people at the round tables, talk to people about the events. And it hasn't always gone great. We thought it might be fun with the award season just beginning to kind of revisit some of those moments from Kevin and Bean history coming up just after 7 this morning. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Good news for J.R.R. Tolkien fans. Finally, a new book from him. He's a lazy bastard. That's for sure. Just sitting on his fat ass collecting all those Hobbit royalties. Finally, he's getting back to work. New novel from J.R.R. Tolkien. The first novel he ever wrote when he was still a student at the University of Oxford is being published. The story of Kullervo was written in 1914. And apparently they found a manuscript and they said it's going to they're going to publish it. So
this
they can
exactly
make more money off his
Harper
corpse.
Yeah, right. Exactly what happened with Harper Lee this year, though, where they go, well, they never wrote anything else, so let's go back and find whatever we can put out. Make some money.
She dead, too? Harper Lee?
Not yet. No, she's still alive, but they went back
different.
And found
yeah.
No,
it's
I'm
like
saying
they go
they
over
back
and take her corpse and make a new book out of it like they're doing with poor J.R.R. He doesn't even
I'm
have
saying
a
they're publishing her first book, though, is what I'm saying. It was never published before. Same, similar in that respect.
Is it possible it's great?
Sure, it's possible.
Okay.
You might tweet without any mistakes at all in it.
All right,
someday.
It's not probable.
No, but it could happen.
All right.
We're all still hoping for the best.
I got you.
Jerry Seinfeld's the best. He's a funny man. His kids put up a lemonade stand in East Hampton, Long Island. But every neighborhood has one of those neighbors. And apparently one of those neighbors complained. And so the cops showed up and shut it down.
Really?
Yes. So, not to miss an opportunity for a laugh, Jerry and his kids all posed with their hands behind their heads as the cop was walking back to his cop car. And they posted the picture on Instagram with the following. Lemonade dreams crushed by local neighbor, but not before raising lots of money for at Love Recycled. Thanks to all our customers and big tippers. The entire lemonade stand was set up to raise money for his wife Jessica's organization, Baby Buggy, which provides clothing and gear and services for babies to families in need across the country. They raise baby supplies and things to give to impoverished families who need them. So that's why they had the lemonade stand up and running.
Well, thank God they were shut down.
That's what I'm saying. Thank God the police were able to crack down on that sort of lemon-based crime in the East Hamptons.
What kind of neighbor calls the police?
Bad one.
Over this.
You can't say that.
No, I don't know what I can say anymore. bad neighbor.
Wow, that's shocking.
The only thing I have not seen this story, Ralph, but the only thing I can imagine is maybe this is one of those deals where word got out that Jerry Seinfeld was standing around this lemonade stand and fans started coming from everywhere and just clogged up the neighborhood with cars up and down the street. So maybe that's what a neighbor was reacting to.
Bean would be the one to call. Bean would be the one to call the cops. Because he doesn't want poor people to have baby buggies. Kevin, this is going to help, I think, tremendously, your love of wax museums. This will actually, if it's possible, increase your passion for wax museums.
They're terrible. Although Nicki Minaj was pretty great.
That was pretty great. Yeah. Well, guess what the newest exhibit at the San Francisco Madame Tussauds Wax Museum is going to be? I'll give you a hint.
Yeah, please.
It's the first cat ever to get its own wax figure.
Oh, if it's Grumpy Cat.
Kevin! Grumpy Cat gets its own wax works exhibit there at Madame Tussauds in San Francisco.
Is there no end to this madness?
But you get to pose with a wax statue of Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's an idea. I think people will be disappointed just with a replica of Grumpy Cat. I say, let's get Grumpy Cat, put down a big saucer antifreeze, and the next thing you know... Next thing you know, you have real Grumpy Cat. You can get your picture taken with real stuffed Grumpy Cat in San Francisco. Right? Isn't that more exciting, everyone? All right, I'll get right on that. Thanks so much for agreeing with me. I appreciate it.
Don't ever put antifreeze and cats in the same sentence, Ralph.
I don't want to put it in the same sentence. Put them in the same room. And David Spade is man enough to admit that a better man took his woman. He's telling GQ Magazine a story about when he was dating Laura Flynn Boyle back in the late 1990s. When they were all smoking a little weed, including a gentleman named Jack Nicholson, who sauntered up and asked Laura Flynn Boyle out right in front of David's face.
Oof. Look. I mean, look. He's Jack Nicholson.
That's what David Spade said. Apparently, Laura Flynn Boyle was furious at David Spade that he didn't speak up and stand up for her. But Spade said he was simply outranked, he said. Jack and Laura got into a car. And that was history. She got into a car crash with Jack a little while later where she was apparently a little inebriated, crawling out of the sunroof yelling, "I have a boyfriend, I can't be here."
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the night didn't go great for them. But they did date for a while after that.
Yeah, quite a while. I remember them as a couple.
But that's hard to deal with.
I mean, what do you do?
What do you do? You're high, first of all.
Sure.
You probably think you're imagining things. Hi there, Laura. Look, I've seen your boyfriend's work. I think you'd be better off with the Joker than with the douchebag.
Then she has to go, right? I mean, the guy you have to go, okay, it's Jack Nicholson, go. Right? Yep. You don't have a choice. Wins.
He just wins.
You want to be with Jack Nicholson or Joe Dirt? I think the question's pretty obvious. Today's celebrity birthdays, Luis Guzman. You know him. 59 years old today. Daniel Stern is 58. Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom, 54 years old.
All those great Christopher Guest movies.
Yes, she's terrific in everything
she does.
Very funny lady. Shania Twain is 50 years old today. Jack Black turns 46. Jason Priestley, also 46 today. Armie Hammer. He's a specimen, that guy. Boy, he's a good looking.
Yeah.
I don't usually go in for the blondes, but boy, he's got what it takes, right? Who's with me? Fellas, who's with me?
I think I am.
All right.
Gotta be honest.
Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine, 29 years old today. And Honey Boo Boo herself, Alana Thompson.
Her favorite food.
Makes me howl, Honey Boo Boo.
It's not
danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Sorry, neither of us knew the other had the clip going.
If you guys could only speak to each other or plan something or talk or... work together for a while.
Gotta start coming to the meetings.
Get a little chemistry going. I think the second quarter century, you guys are really going to click. Just me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm very excited about this. The MTV Video Music Awards are Sunday night, as we've mentioned. And we were talking in the office yesterday about how Beer Mug is going to be on the red carpet again. He's going to be out there interviewing people as they go into the thing. And we're thinking about how well that's gone in the past when we've sent him and others down to various musical events like the Grammys and this show. And I think it may be time to revisit some of the great award show moments in Kevin and Bean show history.
Welcome to the first annual Top Award Show Moments from the Kevin and Bean Show. Great moments from various red carpets of your favorite award shows. Let's take a listen.
All right, where are we starting?
We're starting with Beer Mug. This might surprise you, but Beer Mug has several of the entries.
Okay.
David Krumholtz is the first interview. Bean, remind me what he was in because I don't know.
I don't know
recently
what he would have been. I think he's on Ballers now, if I'm thinking of the right guy. But, yeah, he's a guy who's been an actor who's been in a lot of things. He was in Harold and Kumar, I'm being told.
So he's being interviewed by Beer Mug, and Beer Mug also doesn't know anything that he's done recently.
I loved you in Slums of Beverly Hills. I know. And you know what? I'm going to go even further back. Adam's Family Values.
Do you like any of my recent work?
I haven't seen any of your recent work, David.
By the way, I'm glad you played that clip, A, because it's a terrible interview, but B, it spotlights Mug's phenomenal microphone technique, which is that the mic is only on him and not at all on the guest, the person he's interviewing.
It's that, and he also likes to quote a lot of the stuff that they did back to themselves. That's a weird phenomenon.
Yes, I'm going to tell you about your IMDb page.
Or when he's talking to the composer for Harold and Kumar, he's going to talk about other composers.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you think of composers, John Williams, Danny Elfman, Hans Zimmer come to mind. But I am standing here with the composer of Harold and Kumar.
I know all those guys and they're wonderful.
You know who I don't think of? The guy that I'm talking to.
Right.
Why would you mention other people in his field?
Other people who are far more awarded and famous and successful, too, than you are. Like, why would you bring that up to this guy, who's a very nice guy and a very, you know, did a great job with the music in that movie, but why compare him to John Williams?
I can't imagine. Here is Beer Mug, and this is vintage Beer Mug. He's talking to somebody, and he stops the interview so that he can look around the room and see if there's anybody more important that he can talk to.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ron. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wands. Sorry, Wands.
Somebody more famous than me. No. And there are many.
Poor Wands. Wands, the guy who sang the hook on Thrift Shop. That's why he was talking to him. But Muggs clearly had nothing to say
to
him.
Hold on. Who's there? Who else is here? How do you do that to a guest? I'd rather him list your accomplishments or other people in your field. What's going on? One of our favorite questions of all time happened when Beer Mug interviewed Lou Ferrigno.
How has life been for you up to today?
Life has been great. Last week I just did the voice for The Incredible Hulk.
Now, he rolls with it, but how's life up till today? That's a pretty all-encompassing question.
That's the best. Well, it's a nice open-ended question. It gives your interviewee a lot of different directions to go in. So, well done, Mugs.
The host of the MTV VMAs, Miley Cyrus, when Mugs is on the red carpet, maybe everyone doesn't stop by. Some people like to just stop at a television station. Some don't do much at all and just go in. But Muggs has a way of getting their attention, and here's Muggs trying to get Miley Cyrus's attention.
Miley, Kevin and Bean, K-Rock, right here, twerk it for us.
He said twerk it for
twerk
us.
Twerk it
yeah,
for us.
He did. Well, he'll have another shot at that same question this Sunday night.
By the way, he's holding a microphone, and I don't believe he was holding a camera.
Wow.
Right. So I'm not sure how that would have worked. He was yelling at, not necessarily interviewing One Direction.
Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am getting all over myself. It is One Direction.
All right.
So that happened.
Didn't interview them either.
Do you remember when Omar did some of these interviews? He interviewed Everlast.
That's right.
And we've all
been there, which is that we played, K-Rock played basically one of his songs. But we played it like crazy for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Omar could not for the life of him remember what the song was titled.
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock, the name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry.
What it's like.
So I think it's Omar doing the interview, then Dave gives him the wrong title, and then Everlast has to correct it and tell him the right title.
Poor O. Look, here's the thing, and that was one of the roundtables in front of the MTV show, or the Grammys, one of them. A lot of times, you don't know who you're going to get, who they're going to throw in front of you. You've got no paperwork. You're just winging it. So I totally identify with what Omar's going through there.
What's it like? It's what it's like. So now Muggs is standing in front of Walk the Moon, and he sees Katy Perry. This is a classic. And he thinks if he shows Katy Perry that he's got Walk the Moon in front of him, mm-hmm. that she will come over and join them as well.
Who do they cheer? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys, hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon. Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here.
We played with John Mayer last night.
Hey, you guys.
Look, I see what he was trying to do. He was trying to get an interview with Katy Perry. But it can't have made Walk the Moon feel very good to be standing there waiting to be interviewed and just be ignored.
Muggs regularly tries to get other people to come over in the middle of or at the beginning of an interview with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's not good. And then there's the Richard Dreyfuss interview. Which for my money was just pure gold. This is Muggs interviewing Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
Is there a better interview than that?
He sounded so sincere,
yep.
too. Oh.
That's the arts right there.
I mean.
Laughter, cry.
Yep, sad, cry.
That's Muggs. He's going back to the MTV VMAs, by the way. Red
Can't
carpet.
Wait. Monday morning, awesome. We should have some new interviews.
It's going to be strong.
The very talented, very funny comedian Neil Brennan joins us in studio next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And our old friend Sarah Shahi is coming by in the 9 o'clock hour with her very talented husband Steve Howie. They star respectively on Ray Donovan and Shameless. And I think we're doing shots with Shahi today.
I think we're bringing that back, right?
Yeah. I think we're all set. We've got the liquor cart all ready to go. Well, sure. We all brought Ubers to work. We're all set, right?
We're going
to
be in our cups. I know that.
Deep know cups, all right. Here's the article up in front of me at something called bustle.com. But you'll see a lot of stories on this particular topic all across the internet this month. The hottest new trend in dating is not an app. It's not an app. It's a disappearing act. Everyone is talking about ghosting. First lamenting the practice and then the inevitable pushback by its defenders. What is it? Well, according to a recent New York Times article, it's used as a verb that refers to ending a romantic relationship by cutting off all contact and ignoring the former partner's attempts to reach out. In other words, disappearing without an explanation. Now, look, as long as people have had relationships, there have been breakups that have been mysterious to one party, right? Where somebody has just stopped showing up. Stopped returning calls, stopped answering letters, whatever the form of communication was. But now we're in an age where there's so many different ways to connect that you know pretty fast if you're being ignored. If you're no longer part of their Facebook life, you're no longer part of their, you know, part of their text messages, you can tell pretty fast when you're being ghosted, I think, right?
One of the celebrity examples that were given was Charlize Theron, who, mm-hmm. if she does it, it's correct. That's our rule. She was with Sean Penn for a while and apparently just stopped responding in every way to him.
Now, isn't that – look, we don't pretend to know Charlize or Sean Penn or what the problem was with their relationship that led them to break up. But doesn't it seem like they're both kind of smart, evolved people? It seems like – wouldn't you have expected them to just have a conversation where they go, hey, it was fun while it lasted, but it's not working out. Let's go our separate ways and be well? I mean, that's what I would expect from people like that.
Yeah.
What do you think
you're assuming – by the way, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You're assuming, and I guess we all sort of were when we came into this, mm-hmm. that a person doesn't deserve to be ghosted, which, by the way, maybe they do.
Yeah.
Really? Now tell me about that. Who deserves to be ghosted? Who deserves, even if your behavior is bad and you deserve to be broken up with, who doesn't deserve a goodbye?
Well, I mean, I don't have any names that come to mind, Chip, but I'm just saying, when you talk about it like it's a bad thing always, and I'm saying, Chip, it might not always be a bad thing, because maybe
Before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, we want to hear from you if you have done the ghosting or if you have been the ghostee. We want to hear from you in either case, where somebody that you were in, especially the further along the relationship was, the longer you guys were together, the more interesting the story to me, that all of a sudden communication just stopped one day, just done. We want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us at 2KROQ, the number 2KROQ.
Chip, how long were you dating?
Just like a month and a half.
Month and a half, okay.
Yeah.
And how many dates is that?
We were seeing each other like once or twice a week. We both worked a lot, but we would, you know, go see a movie, whatever.
Wow, so that's like 10 dates.
Yeah.
So that's like 7 dates past sex at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what was your feeling before you were ghosted? What was your feeling about where the relationship was headed or how it was going?
Well, you know me, I'm way laid back, so it's like I'm not stressed about anything. Like, you know, we'd text a couple times a day, you know, you know, then go hang out and text again and whatever. So it was going okay, and then all of a sudden just nothing. Maybe a day or two. And like same thing, like I'm like, hey, if you're busy, that's cool. I'm busy too. Whatever.
And then, like 3 weeks later, you're like, "Hey, you're pretty busy."
Yeah, I didn't let it go for 3 weeks, but after like three or four days, you're like, "Come on, you can return a text." And then just never heard anything.
Never
ever again.
Heard from him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So three or four days go by, which is an eternity in the texting world. And at that point, you knew you were gone, right?
Yeah, and at that point too, I'm like, oh, F this guy. I'm like, I don't care. Whatever. If your
pride kicks in at some point, right?
Yeah, you ghost me. You get, but I'm not. You're not gonna.
Look, even though Chip, you are super chill, and I totally believe that, you know, you were fine. Whether if it worked out, great. If it didn't work out, it's not like you were in love. It wasn't gonna. You weren't.
Yeah,
gonna
it
get
wasn't
married.
Even like an actual relationship. It was just hanging out still. You know.
Right. Exactly. But you still, I bet, spent some time going, what could have happened? Like, what went down?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, what was the turning point? It was just, yep, one day yes, one day no.
Aww. Was there anything you could go back to and think about in the last time or two that you guys had seen each other that might have been a problem?
I don't think so, but at that point, I was like, whatever, dude, I'm over it. I just moved on. It wasn't anything.
So you didn't really want to look at your behavior and see if you deserved it.
I mean, look at me. There's tons of reasons why. Dolphins fan.
You know what I like dolphins. To do in these situations? Assume he died. Right?
He's dead. Died.
I mean, I guess that's an option.
Yeah.
Did this happen anywhere around the haircut?
Oh, that was pre-haircut.
Okay, pre-haircut. Okay.
Dick.
Just
wow. All right.
Wow.
Allie McKay.
Yeah.
You have ghosted.
I have, and I am not proud of it. And we were joking off the air. I was like a OG ghoster, like a hipster ghoster.
Yeah,
this
before
was a
it was
long
popular.
Time ago. Yeah, before it was in. And I had dated a guy probably 3 months, and I just wasn't feeling it anymore.
Right.
So I stopped answering calls, knocks on doors.
Did you were you
from friends
when you were home and he knocked on the door? Yeah. Were you hiding?
I would hide, and I know it's horrible, and I hear myself saying it. Granted, I was young, and to me, it was easier for me just to avoid the situation than have to say something as simple as, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. But you're a great guy.
It's not you.
It's not me.
It's me.
I was too young and too immature to say it, and I. Honestly, I'd reach out to the guy now, but I hope he's moved on from that. But
you hope he's dead, really.
Mostly that.
So you wouldn't do that now?
Absolutely not. No, I think
now
everyone deserves...
You're comfortable enough to just lay it out there and say, it didn't work out.
Absolutely.
And I think most people... Look, nobody wants to be dumped. Nobody wants to be dumped. But I think most people would prefer it didn't work out to nothing, to wondering, right?
I would guess so. But then I also think there are certain people who you go, okay, this... It's not going to be as easy as saying it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, it's going to kick in a lot of drama.
Yeah.
So maybe you're trying to avoid all that drama afterwards. I don't know.
I ghost everybody. That's my rule, is I ghost everybody. Like,
just across the board.
Anyone that texts me, maybe you'll get a text back. Maybe you won't.
Right.
It's just whenever I might get to it, maybe not. And then people don't know if I'm ghosting them or not. That's just how I live.
We have seen that work for you with email here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've certainly seen it. We've all been ghosted by Kevin. All right, let's take one before the break, and it's going to be Mary, line 7, please. She is in Whittier. She dated a guy for 1.5 years.
Wow.
And then ghosted him. A year and a half. Wow. Mary, what led you to go that route?
It was just the fact that he was a little too needy, and he wanted something serious, and I kind of wasn't on that same page. We were on the same page for a really long time, but out of nowhere, one day, he just decided to tell me he loves me, and that scared me off.
Son of a bitch. That son of a bitch.
How dare he?
After a year.
What
an ass. Wow, that kind of behavior.
You gotta hate him for that.
Horrible. So, Mary, you dated him a year and a half. He didn't deserve I'm just not on the same page you are, nothing.
Well, see, it wasn't necessarily, we were dating, obviously, but it was more of a friendship that we would occasionally just, hang out, go to dinner, do stuff like that.
Mm, the story
so we
changes.
Both knew, not necessarily. It's just that we weren't necessarily in a relationship, and he was well aware of that. I don't know. It really scared me because...
Would you like to apologize to him right now?
Of course.
Right, what's his first name?
I don't even want to go there because what if he's listening?
Well, that's your apology.
If you wanted to apologize to him.
Sorry or not? I've tried apologizing over text.
What's his first name? What's his first name?
Oh, man.
I'm not even asking for it.
His first name is Ernie.
Okay. Where does Ernie work?
I don't know where he works. Well, you know what? He works in the city.
We're just kidding. All right. Thank you, Mary, for the call.
But after a year and a half, if you're all right, Mary's gone. If she's friends with the guy, it seems like that situation way more than even Chip's situation with a short time, a casual relationship. I mean, she was actually friends with this dude for a year and a half. It seems like the kind thing to do would at least give a heads up.
Ernie
got
needy and said he loved her.
He did. After a year and a half, the dude said he loved her.
I wanted to ask Mary, how long after she ghosted him did he continue to try to get in touch? Like, a month, 6 months, a year? Like, how long did he go still trying to get some closure on
that? Well, Ernie was needy, so he probably went a full year.
Stupid men fall in love like they do.
Idiot.
All right, 1-800-520-1067, or you can text the Kevin and Bean Show always at the number 2-KROQ. More on ghosting when we return right after this on K-Rock. We have a lot of very sad and broken people in our audience. That's what I'm learning here this morning as we're talking about ghosting on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Chip just got ghosted recently. Allie has been a ghoster. And ghosting, by the way, for folks who don't know the term, is where somebody just basically drops off a cliff. You never hear from them again. They don't respond to your texts, to your calls, to your emails. They are just gone. Before we go back to the calls, let me read a couple from the texting here this morning at 2KROQ, 25767. Listen to this. I was engaged to this girl for 2 years, says this text from the 562. We were planning a wedding and everything. All of a sudden, I walk into the door to a text to my mom saying that she had moved away. I tried contacting her in every way, and she did not give me any reason as to why she left me to this day for closure. Breaking up is that incredible?
Wow.
They were talking about getting married, and she just vanished.
That's crazy. In 2 years?
For 2 years, yeah, they were together. Here's one who said, I got ghosted the day after this guy took my virginity.
Oh, man.
Well, at least we know why he ghosted you, right?
How about that?
And a lot of people are suggesting that Chip has the same effect on relationships as she does on bands, so she can't really be surprised at this.
Yeah,
that's
true.
She can break up anything.
Yeah.
All right, taking some calls to at 1-800-520-1067. Who's up first?
Let's go to James in Fullerton. Hi, James. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. Did you ghost or were you ghosted?
No, I ghosted somebody.
All right.
Tell us about it.
Who was she? How long were you together?
Well, we were together off and on for about 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, 10 years.
Okay.
And we ended up actually taking a trip out to San Diego to make sure to see if we're really going to work out. Everything went great. And then we got back. I was driving home, and then I just decided it wasn't going to work out.
Hmm.
Okay. So instead of saying, hey, I don't think it's going to work out, you just avoided phone calls, texts, everything?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't get away from her, so I was thinking, what do I got to do? I need to just get away.
I feel like you did her a favor.
She is going to miss your dynamic energy. I do know that.
Thank you for the call.
I do know that she just lost a jolt of caffeine in her life. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, wow, look at this.
Yep.
Let's try Myra in Riverside. How about that up next on line one, please? Hey, Myra, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show. We're sorry you had to listen to James.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. So you were ghosted or you did the ghosting?
I was ghosted.
All right.
I was talking to this guy. I was like 16 at the time. And we were talking for about a year. It was like long distance. But one day he just stopped answering my calls. He took me off his top five from MySpace.
Oh,
I know.
Fight words.
And, yeah, like, I would write to him, and, yeah, he just never wrote back, never answered my calls.
What do you think, Myra? You've spent a lot of time thinking about this. What do you think went wrong?
I don't know. Maybe I was, like, too needy or something. I mean, I was only 16, and he was older. He was, like, 18, and he just seemed so perfect. And I guess I was just too young, and it was far away, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks. All right. Can't blame you like we did the other guy.
No.
Right?
We're on your side.
We're on your side. Sorry about that. All right. Where do we want to go next? Man, we have a lot of calls.
It does just seem, though, that, I mean, I guess, Kevin, I guess you're right. I guess it's easy to say, how about a conversation? But sometimes that conversation turns into drama that lasts for days and weeks, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes breakups are difficult. And that's what people are trying to avoid here.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Say hi to Manuel. Hi there.
How you doing? What's going on, Kevin and Bean and LMK?
Good morning, my mom.
Yeah, man, I was in a senior at a local high school, and this young girl, she just came into the 10th grade, and she was really hard on me. She looked like Blake Lively.
All right.
Curly hair.
Yeah.
She was very pretty, very pretty, and she was just, like, on me, and all of a sudden, she didn't show up to school one day. And at that time, I used to have a part-time job. I was working for a company that did business leads, you know, that looked for people sell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking for her, and I found her. And one day I went in my suit, because I have to wear a suit at night, went to knock on the door, and the mother opened the door, and I'm looking for so-and-so. And she said, oh, who are you? And I said, well, she's my girlfriend. And she can't have any boyfriends, and this is her son, and it was a little toddler. I'm going to spike another nerve there. 18-month-old toddler.
Was it your baby?
Walking around.
Was it yours?
Was it yours?
No, it wasn't mine. It was from some other guy.
Oh, okay.
And she just didn't tell me. She didn't tell me that she had another child, a child with another person.
Wow.
And
that seems important to you?
You feel like you should know?
So uptight.
No. We were together for like 3 months. Nothing happened between us. But if she would have told me that, I would have understood. But she disappeared from school for a week. But that was on a Friday. Monday morning, she showed up to school like nothing happened and never spoke to me again.
How about that?
She ghosted you in person? You would say, hey, what's going on? She did not even look.
Keep on walking by.
She would just walk by like nothing, like I was nobody.
Wow.
Dude. I don't know how you ever get over that. I mean, look, I know you only dated for 3 months. It's not the love of your life. You weren't married or anything like that. But I just think the question, you know me, I'm a guy who wants enough information, right?
Yeah.
The question would never stop rattling around in my head, like, what went wrong?
And we've heard from a lot of people this happened in high school, immature, you know, young. It's happening now by older people like
adults.
Chip.
Like Chip.
Like Chip.
Let's go to Bobby in Monterey Park. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, all right, so I was dating this one girl for, I want to say, like 3 to 4 months, and one day I just decided not to text anybody anymore. I was fed up with the day before getting so many calls and text messages, so I just wanted to chill
all
for
right.
a bit.
Hold, Bobby, hold. So you're saying this wasn't her, this was just you're going to not text anyone?
Yeah, I just wanted to take, like, a break from the phone, because, you know,
okay.
so many text messages and notifications. Anyway, so... That happened, and then the next day I started talking to everybody, but I got used to the idea to not talk to her.
In one day?
Come on.
Come on, Bobby.
I realized that it was only her.
Yeah, and yeah, I know it sounds pretty bad, but maybe 2 weeks later I decided that this has gone way too far,
and I need to tell her something, but I couldn't come up with any excuse.
Oh. Hmm. So you just avoided her altogether?
No. Well, yes and no. I put
you
it
avoid
aside
altogether is a yes or no question.
It's kind of. Yeah. I put okay. it aside.
We're ruling in favor of her. Are we ruling here? I don't know what
don't
we're doing.
Know.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Well,
Bobby
on,
has
on,
a complicated life, but we're out of time. But thank you for calling, sir.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Bobby.
Bobby.
Sorry.
We're ghosting you, man.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
No. He's going to fall out of my penis.
I need a flow chart on that description.
Really? That was.
Hey, Jim, hit me with that again.
Would I don't think we have time.
Break it down. Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's a little Lenny Kravitz.
That may have been,
I gotta go my way.
That's basically what
call
I
your
said.
Penis,
yeah.
whatever you want to call
it's not
penis,
what I meant
Kevin.
To say.
It's up to you. Yeah, really. You can name it whatever you want.
We to judge. Hey, the very funny, very smart comedian Neil Brennan joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, I've got the wrong Showbiz Beat. If anyone can hear me in the office, can you bring in what's
That's
on the printer?
Cute.
That'd
like
be awesome.
Listen to
I know.
Another office.
Hope springs eternal, Kevin. You know, we were talking about celebrities, high-profile actors hitting the stage a little while ago. We were talking about how Keira Knightley is going to be hitting the stage.
Yep.
And Bruce Willis is going to be doing Misery.
Kevin Bacon, I think.
That'll happen. And
it's ironic.
He couldn't remember lines for a movie. 2 hours on stage. Come on.
What are you saying?
Just saying. Hmm. I'll be interested. You might want to go opening night, is all I'm saying, if you're going to go see that
show. You want to see that?
But Kevin Spacey is returning to Broadway. He's in the process of adapting one of my favorite films from the past 10 years. Good Night and Good Luck. Remember this? It was a George Clooney jam.
Loved it. Loved
George Clooney
movie.
Joint.
What was it about?
It was about Edward R. Murrow, the newsman Edward
yes.
R. Murrow, and his battle to bring high-quality broadcast news to CBS back in the old-timey days.
I don't watch movies about the news.
Yeah, I know, because you're a kid.
Kid.
This was a great film.
Great movie.
David Strathairn played Murrow, and it was just remarkable. I think Clooney played his producer. It was a great film, and especially with the current state of television news, fascinating, entertaining film. Spacey is adapting this for the stage. And so
I love it.
I think it's going to be terrific. No word on which role Spacey would play, either the Murrow role, but also Murrow had a very high-profile battle with U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin, who, of course, Kevin was responsible for.
Apartheid.
Nope. Nope.
That was a Thought great guess, Kevin.
Thought I'd take a step.
Because the American Apartheid movie was very short-lived. Really, did not get a big toehold in American politics.
It wasn't very effective.
No, it was not. It did not really catch up.
Right.
Catch a lot of back support. But
I like our new feature, Kevin Mad Libs the News.
Tail Gunner Joseph McCarthy was famous for his communist wish hunts in the 50s.
Did they have a name?
Same thing.
What's that?
Did who have a name?
For Joseph McCarthy, I believe
McCarthyism.
That is name. McCarthyism,
I think
yes,
that would be your tip-off.
It was the name of the... Kevin's just looking around the room, just glassy-eyed.
No,
anyway, it's going to be cool. Kevin Bacon, as Bean mentioned, also doing stage, doing Rear Window as a play. They opened the box office to sell tickets for that. And apparently it's opening in Hartford, Connecticut, then to move to Broadway. But it was the highest single-day box office in the 50-year history of that theater.
Wow.
Oh.
People love them some bacon. Everybody loves bacon.
Sure.
Right? Daniel Craig says it's not great to be famous.
I can see that there are a lot of downsides.
I can,
to people who are super famous.
I can, too. If you're James Bond, your life is never your own again. He says it's tough for him to go out at night because not just the paparazzi, he said, but fellow patrons at a restaurant will try to sneak photos of him all night long. He says it's really annoying because they do it surreptitiously. Like, they'll pick up their camera and they'll try not to look, and you'll just hear the click or you'll see a flash or something. So all night long you're dealing with that. That's got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Kat Corbett did that yesterday on her Instagram. She was at a restaurant and Benjamin Bratt was there. And she took a picture a selfie of herself so that she could get Benjamin Bratt in the photo behind her.
No, not her. She's one of us. She's not supposed to be one of them.
And Benjamin
Bratt. People cannot resist taking a picture of Benjamin Bratt, I guess.
I couldn't miss the opportunity of getting a photo of Benjamin Bratt.
Yeah, it's uncool.
He says he's happy to sign autographs, pose for a picture with a fan, but he does not like what he calls being effed with, where people are just trying to sneak photos of him while he's
I would guess that people don't want to disturb him by walking up to him at dinner
but
and
that's
asking
more
him.
Disturbing.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying I would guess that that's probably what they're thinking.
Because it's creepier, I think, when you're just trying to snap a picture on the sly.
You just got to feel like you're in the zoo, though, if you're a famous enough person that everybody's staring at you everywhere you go.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, I know you've been dying to get updates on who's going to be Dancing with the Stars, so I wanted to give you some highlights.
God, finally.
Paula Deen has joined the cast. She'll be dancing with one of the white dancers, I'm guessing. And also...
That answers my question.
Hayes Greer has finally joined the cast. Finally, they were able to get Hayes Greer.
Awesome.
He or she is amazing. Yeah.
Hayes Greer, for those of you who are not familiar...
Big fan. big fan.
Hayes is known, Kevin, for the...
Miming, for being a famous mime.
He is not. He is actually a famous Viner and Instagrammer.
Right.
He is 15 years old, and he's got 4 million followers on Vine and Instagram. Beyond that, I do not know what his talent and or gifts are, but apparently he is capable of getting a lot of people to watch him do whatever it is that he does on Vine and Instagram. At the age of 15, he is joining...
I guess that's smart.
He is joining the Dancing with the Stars cast. Hayes Greer.
I mean...
I'm going to have to do all the research for the next report so I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to look up Hayes Greer and see what he does on Vine and Instagram.
Should they change the title of the show?
To Dancing with the Instagrammers?
Maybe.
Maybe. It could be. His most recent Vine, apparently, was Hers No Paul Blart. And no one really knew what that meant.
I think that
was confused.
I believe that was Kevin. I think that was Kevin trying to tweet.
Yeah.
Could be worse, by the way. Could be worse. Real quickly, the UK Celebrity Big Brother 2015 cast just been announced.
Okay.
This is the British version of Celebrity Big Brother where they, of course, you know Big Brother, they put everybody in this house and they got all the cameras and they watch the drama unfold. Most of these people are Brits, so you do not know them. I was impressed by Gail Porter. She is a British TV personality who lost all of her hair. She's famous for that, so she will be in the house.
Okay.
The bald newscaster will be in the house.
What, was she sick or she just lost her hair?
She got alopecia.
Okay.
Which, is just a relatively harmless disease, but you do lose all your hair. So she is a bald TV personality.
Well, she's qualified to be on TV then.
She's got that. But I feel like we're on the cusp, perhaps, of another war with the British.
Uh-oh.
What are you talking about?
Perhaps that weapons may be launched against us. Given the fact that we have exported four of our biggest douchebag celebrities to live in their Big Brother house.
This is good, though, for us.
It's not good.
It's good for us to
get
them
out. We don't have to deal with them for a couple months.
Right.
Daniel Baldwin, best known as the drunk and surly Baldwin.
Right.
He is going to be there. Okay. And then here's a trio for you. Jenna Jameson.
Wow.
Tila Tequila.
Wow.
And Farrah Abraham.
Wow. All living together in one house.
All living together in one house.
And this is the porn house?
Yeah, no, it's just Big Brother UK. But it is porn-tastic. Today's celebrity birthday is Luis Guzman is 59 years old today. Daniel Stern turns 58. I haven't seen a lot of Daniel Stern lately. He's a real good actor. I don't know where he's been. He famously, I guess, most people know him from Home Alone. He was one of the burglars along with Joe Pesci.
He didn't die?
I believe not, since we're celebrating his birthday today. Usually
I thought
he
died. Who am I thinking of that died? How are we supposed to know who
Who died? Oh, who was that guy who died? Remember? Who's he thinking of? The guy who died.
All right. First of all, I can I'll tell you what Daniel Stern is doing. He's on Manhattan now. He's on the series Manhattan, and he's excellent on that show. The guy I was thinking of who died is the guy from City Slickers. Who is that who has a similar name? City Slickers actor who died.
Bruno Kirby?
Yes,
that's a similar name.
Yep.
Yes. Nailed
Bruno Kirby is exactly who I was thinking of. Daniel Stern was also in City Slickers. That was my confusion, I think. I knew one of the guys from City Slickers
talking,
and I thought it was Daniel Stern, but it turns out it was Bruno Kirby.
With the similar name to Daniel Stern.
It was
Stern.
Because they were in that movie together.
Stop,
that's,
Bruno Kirby.
That's what it was. I'm going to be quiet now.
Jennifer Coolidge is 54. Shania Twain turns 50. Jack Black and Jason Priestley both celebrate their 46th birthdays. Armie Hammer. He's 29. Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine. 29 years old. Remember that day you guys broke her foot?
I remember her distinctly.
Oh, I remember. You guys wanted to talk to her. The next thing, she was on stage sitting down because her foot was
broken.
That
was at Weenie Roast, but she had broken it before.
Mm-hmm.
It was not us.
That's so convenient.
Pretty sure.
Alana Thompson, you may know her better as Honey Boo Boo, celebrates her 10th birthday today. She's got it all. She is the total package.
Yep.
And by have it all, I mean she has sketti and cheese balls.
Her favorite foods are sketti and butter.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of times people come to us and they go, Kevin and Bean, I've met you guys. You got nothing going on. How are you still on the radio? The answer, we manage to book people who are smarter and funnier than we are every single day, just like today. And that's why we welcome comedian Neil Brennan back
to
the Kevin Bean Show.
Smarter,
hey, Neil, how are you, man?
Smarter, funnier. Stronger.
He didn't say stronger.
I will wrestle any of you.
Okay.
Make us look good, Neil. Seriously, we need your help today. Neil has got some great stuff going on. He's a very busy man, but September 9th is going to be his night at the Largo at the Coronet, which is going to be largo-la.com for tickets. Only $30 on sale now for something called Three Mics, which I think is a fascinating concept that has never been done in comedy before that I'm aware of, Neil, right?
I hope not.
It'll be a total bummer if you got this whole thing ready.
Actually, Carlos Mencia did it.
Yeah.
Here's the idea. I put three mics on the stage, spaced out, equidistant, and one mic is for stand-up, one is for, one-liners that I've never been able to do anything with, and then one mic is for, true personal stories, and that aren't that funny. They're, kind of, some are kind of sad, guys, if I'm being honest.
Two funny mics and one not funny.
Two funny and one not funny.
Okay.
It's not completely unfunny.
It's possible, but
so that's the idea. And it sort of, I just go between each mic.
It's seeing three performances at once by the same guy.
It's kind of like seeing three, it's like, you know that show The Moth? Where people tell stories, personal stories. It's kind of like that. It's like The Moth on one, me doing stand-up on another one, and then Stephen Wright on another one, or Mitch Hedberg.
Sounds like a lot of work for all three of you.
It is.
It seems like you're running back and forth between
No, it's not spinning plates. It's I spend 10 minutes on each.
Oh, okay.
I alternate between the three.
Now, Neil, you've been doing stand-up for a long time, many, many years, and you're very successful at it.
Thank
what
you so
makes
much.
You look at stand-up and go, it's too easy? I got to figure out some way to really, really make this harder.
It's not a matter of ease. Here's the thing is you end up not that people don't know you, but you kind of get tired of being on stage and being like, you want to hear another glib opinion? you want to hear another confident thing I've completely thought through that you cannot penetrate at all? So it's like trying to figure out a way to get people to kind of know you a little bit better. And I have some very sad stories. And I wanted to share them. With stand-up, the only way people really get to know you is in setups. So you'll be like, so my dad's deaf. And then you go into whatever your dad being deaf. And people don't know how you feel about it and don't know.
I would assume that's just a setup for a joke. I don't even.
Well, that's the
I
other
thing.
I wouldn't
necessarily think your actual dad is deaf.
Yeah, no one thinks that when you do a joke, they go they don't know what's true and what's not. This stuff is so unfunny, it has to be true.
What order will you go in?
I go stand up, then I go sad story, then I go one-liners. And the one-liners sort of cleanse the palate.
And then you go back.
Then I go back
crying
to
crying mic or whatever that was.
No, then I go back stand up. Then I alternate three
now,
times.
Now you've performed this in other cities.
I have. I did
What's
it a bunch
reaction?
in Toronto and Montreal. The reaction was really good.
Can't trust Canadians.
Well, yeah, all right. Then throw this entire thing.
It's
out.
A third good though. You could say they count for a third, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
one of the mics.
One of the they like
work
the sad,
out.
They like the sad mic. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about the sad mic. Because you've got people there who have paid their money that are coming to a comedy show. They want to laugh.
Yes.
What's the reaction like for the sad stories?
When you know you're getting them, it's not bad. But when they don't know they're getting, because I've done it sort of a surprise a couple times. I do a show in Santa Monica on a Sunday night, and and I'll like I didn't tell people, so I'd be like, so blank 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 something sad, and they'd be like, ah! Like people would kind of laugh a little bit, and then I'd be like, no, I didn't stop the show and say I'm serious, but they kind of realized. Like,
do they say step over to the one liner, Mike?
Please put us out of our misery.
This is bumming me out.
No. Yeah. So people didn't. They were fine with it eventually, but they were a bit like, eh, that's not what I signed up for. But again, it's not like I'm like it's. They're not awful stories. They're just stories that everyone has about family or whatever, and like
right.
Whatever. Personal stuff that you deal with girls, whatever. You know, girls. You deal with girls.
Sure.
Stuff. You guys get it.
girls.
So yeah, so that's sort of the idea. But thankfully, the Canadians were nice about it.
I think it sounds fascinating.
Thank
I
you.
Really do.
Thank
and
you.
How sad will you go?
Move to that mic when you tell this.
Yeah, thank you. It doesn't get that sad. I mean, I don't get that sad. It's also one of those things where when you tell the story, you're used to the stories. It's like my dad died, like stuff like dad dying and like, am I in his will or not? Stuff like that. Like, so it sounds like incredibly sad, but when I'm used to it, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like just an anecdote at this point, but it's like, I'm not
well, your
up
dad
there.
Takes a beating in your show, Neil. First he's deaf. Now
yeah.
he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't hear it.
Yeah.
So.
You know how he died? He got run over by a bus. Didn't hear it coming. I'm actually not.
Tickets are on sale now. It's September 9th. Neil Brennan's three-mic show is going to be at the Largo at the Cornet. Again, it's largo-la.com. They're on sale now. You should go see it. More with our guest in a moment right after this on camera. Comedian Neil Brennan in studio was here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a three-time Emmy-nominated writer, director, producer. You ever win, by the way? You ever win any of those things?
God, no.
Really?
No, that's not what it's what about for me. It's all about okay. It's all about racking up nominations.
Sure.
You wrote for one of the White House correspondence dinners.
I did for with Seth. It was me.
Oscars too.
I got. You know what's funny with the Oscars thing? There was I did one day on the Oscars. Like they brought me in to work for it, and they didn't use any of what I wrote. And then when it was and it happened to be the great year when Anne Hathaway and James Franco hosted an unmitigated Ooh. Success.
Yeah. Sure.
And
the best
and
ever. I most
was
agree.
Trashing it on Twitter. I'm just completely trashing it. Show ends, writing credits, my name's first. And people were like, wait a minute. And I was like, yeah.
It was all my stuff.
Sorry, guys.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
But you can't explain to people, like, oh, they didn't use any of my stuff. And it was one of those things where we did write funny stuff. They just didn't use it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Now, I hope that goes under the sad mic at your Largo show. Speaking of writing, and I'm fascinated with how show business works, because I think most of us that are just consumers that just sit down and turn on our TV, we have no idea. You know, we never see the sausage being made. But we had your friend Whitney Cummings in here yesterday,
yes.
who we are in love with, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah,
and she's taping her HBO special this weekend in Santa Monica. Please go see her.
At the Broad Stage.
And she said, Neil Brennan's coming in tomorrow. He's my best friend in the whole world. We just wrote a movie together. We were all excited about that.
Yes. Now,
yes, go ahead.
She's never written a movie before.
Right, she said it was her first one.
Yeah,
and
right.
she's happy. She
and
can't
the
wait
poor
to see
thing,
it. Made.
Get this,
she's
she thinks
excited.
It's actually going to get made. Never going to happen.
Oh, that's but like, no.
People wait, don't. But... None of them get made. She still thinks it's going to get made. It's like she calls me every 3 weeks. Like, okay, so and so's going to. I got some money from these people. This woman I spoke to. Da, 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 and I just want to sit there and go, Whitney. What? It's never. I don't have the heart to tell her. Maybe she. Hopefully, she's listening.
that's how she wants to find out.
Whitney, let it die.
But movies get made all the time.
They get made all the time.
Right.
Well, now it's all super. It's not a superhero movie, so it'll never get made. There's no chance.
Can you change it?
You know what?
Can
you know
add a superhero? Summer?
Yeah,
just
I think. You guys have Whitney's number. she ghosted me.
But Neil, that's tragic and sad. If it's a good script, somebody should make it.
I agree, but that's just not how it goes. I remember when I was writing, when me and Dave Chappelle were writing the great Half Baked script. And we wrote it. Thank you very much.
By the way.
Thank you so much. Right. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the people
wasn't
on the freeway
much applause, but
that have pulled over and are applauding. we pitched that movie in March of 1997, and we were shooting in July of 1997.
Wow.
And the entire time, everyone was like, just so you know, this never happens. And in the back of my mind, I'm 23, so I'm just like, sure, it doesn't.
That's
like,
right.
You fools. This,
now I know how the movie industry
works. It doesn't
work
for you, hacks. But a couple of geniuses it works for.
But isn't all you need, though, Neil, and this is a sincere question. I'm not having a laugh here. All you need is someone box office marketable to like your script, and it will get made, right? If Will Ferrell sees your script and says, I want to be in that, suddenly that movie's getting made.
Yeah, probably. But you know how hard it is to get Will to get a script to Will that he'll actually read. It's like, think about how little you like reading as a person. Just you, who wants to read anyhow? And then you have to. So you only read the stuff you absolutely. Will has a stack of 40 scripts at his house probably right now.
Yeah. Probably every day, right?
Yeah.
Another 40 show
it's
up.
Like, everybody wants just not, so it's like, what do I have to read? So then it's the ones that people keep bugging about, or you hear is really good, or that's. And then, but I've written scripts for, I pitched a script to Kevin Hart at his house, and he's like, I'm going to produce this. And I wrote it. He still never read it. You know what I mean? Like, he's never read it. It's like, dude, like, did anyone, yeah, that's just how it goes.
How many scripts have you written? If you had
I've
to
written
guess.
I've two scripts. I'm kidding.
No, I'm saying that it never went anywhere.
Oh, did I just say Jews?
You did. I don't know why.
I think you know why. probably, I don't know, 7 or 8. Or I mean, that's not even including TV shows. I've probably written another 5 TV shows that didn't go anywhere. I mean, you just write tons
you
of stuff.
You just get used to the
so
fact
you
that
you literally like. Expect
that first day when you sit down
made.
at the blank page on your operating system, do you feel like I'm wasting my time? Like before you write word one, you feel like this isn't going anywhere. Why am I bothering? How do you get motivation
you
to create
trick
something?
Yourself. It's like when you go on a date, you assume you're going to get laid, right?
Okay.
You can't go into it going like this is never going to happen. You assume, and then when it doesn't happen, you get furious. no, you just kind of hope that it, and then I have a thing now where it got made in my head. If that makes sense. Where people are like, aren't you mad that it didn't get made? It's like, no, I made it. It happened in my head. Like I pictured it. So that's
you had
good
the creative experience.
Yeah,
of,
if that makes sense. Like,
it.
No, I know. Like, it. Some things are almost better in your head than they are in real life.
Like sex.
Precise. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great point, Allie.
You're
great
good
point.
Point. Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this, and I know you have thought of this, but all you need is Judd Apatow to like your script, and now it's going to get made. Same problem. Same problem. Trying to get something to him.
No,
because obviously he loves Amy, and he got her movie made.
Yeah, I see Judd all the time. I don't with Judd at this point. I just try not to bug him. It's also like a thing where the guy's got enough stuff. It's I literally just like
you're not
I'm
very
not
driven.
Gonna, no, yeah,
not a very driven screenwriter.
I almost didn't come here. They have their own guests. They have segments they don't need me for. They have enough mics over there. They'll be all right.
So if somebody breaks into your house, steals the script, and insists on making it, then you'll go along with it. Otherwise, you don't want to put much work into getting it
like
out there.
No one moves out. The thing when people come up to me all the time, and they're like, "Hey, will you read this thing?" It's I always say it's like getting served with a subpoena. Where they're like, Neil. And you're like, oh, I get served.
now
I have to read this thing. So I try not to bother people I know, like Judd, who I have just tons of stuff. Because it's like, he knows. If he wants it, he'll come in. He knows who I am. He knows we're friends.
How's Whitney going to take this? Because she told us yesterday she's, after this special, she wants to really pull back on the road. And I think she's looking at this as kind of the next step. Are you going to have to break the bad news to her?
Well, here's another.
It seemed like she was going to be ready to shoot Monday. So.
That's what it sounded like to us.
Maybe she's been going to like costume fittings and stuff.
Get
and
on
do
a
rehearsals.
Call with her.
Yeah, I don't think Whitney. See, Whitney has a thing where I think she thinks she has to work. I think she forgets that she created Two Broke Girls sometimes. I always want to go like, you don't have, what are you doing? You don't have
I
to go
I said
on
that
road.
To her yesterday, and she said, everybody thinks I have a lot more money than I do.
Including her accountant.
Yeah, maybe so. But look, the reason we bring it up is because we love her, and the script sounded really funny. I mean, the way she described it, it sounded like it could be a really good movie. So it just kind of bums me out to know that this is going to go just on the pile of things that don't get seen.
I'll tell you what, you'll come by the house. I'll put out some bagels. I'll put out a nice thing.
Why'd you look at me when you said bagel?
Are you Jewish?
No.
Oh. I assumed you were, and that's why I looked at you.
A lot of people.
Two anti-Semitic comments, guys. That's for me. This is not good. They'll take one. They will not
right,
take.
Here's another crazy question. Another crazy question, right. Neil Brennan. And yeah. again, coming from a guy who doesn't know anything about how Hollywood works.
Mm-hmm.
Could you take scenes from your movie and perform them on stage in front of an audience and create such a ha-ha that everybody would be talking about?
I have done that with sketch ideas where I had a sketch idea for Chappelle's show after it was over. And I just decided, like, let me just tell people the idea.
Would you call it creating a ha-ha?
Would I call it? I don't call. You mean that? Well, that's what I call doing number two on the toilet. So,
right. Okay.
So I don't know what you call it. Yeah, the sketch I thought of Chappelle was how scared white people must have been on the last day of slavery.
I like that.
Yeah, and they approached the slaves and were like, "Well, we had a heck of a run, didn't we?" And then they say, "If you guys wouldn't mind clearing out your stuff, the Mexican should be here any minute to replace you."
So you and that never got made, but it was satisfying for you because you saw it in your head.
Yeah, no, now you guys get to see it too. See the fun of that?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, well, now I'm sad because we are out of time with great Neil Brennan here on The Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, let me put in a plug for your podcast, which only posts occasionally, but is very funny when it does.
Thank you very much.
Was Wanda Sykes that was the most recent episode?
No, there's a new one after Wanda Sykes, Spongy, and I have two in the can or in the ha-ha, as you call it. Yeah,
in the very funny podcast, very funny man on stage. You can see him at the Largo at the Coronet coming up on September the 9th. Tickets are on sale now at largo-la.com for Neil Brennan and the Three Mics Show. This was fun, man. Let's do this again sometime.
I want you guys to keep doing the show.
Okay then. Why can't the election for president be today? Why do we have to wait till November of next year to put President Trump into office? I mean, seriously.
But
you're teasing me.
But he pays off every day.
I know he does,
but imagine paying off before.
No, imagine how much more he would pay off if he were our leader, as he should be. Donald Trump, back in the news. Even since yesterday, when we talked to his biggest supporters, the Wiebe Sisters ladies in North Carolina, he is all over the news all day yesterday, all day this morning with all sorts of new things. And we figure, you know, we got the opportunity to go right to the source. Let's get Mr. Trump on and have him respond to some of the criticism about the latest things that he has said out there on the campaign trail. And Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, joins us on K-Rock now. Hi, Mr. Trump.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good.
Good to be on your show, and you're welcome.
How do you feel it is going out there on the campaign trail? Seems like you can't say anything without people getting upset at you.
My campaign could not be hotter. The people who know what's going on, people who aren't stupid losers, know I'm speaking the truth, and they're responding the way no candidate has ever had a response before. I am probably the most popular politician in the history of American or world politics, for that matter.
Well, I'm not really sure that's
true.
Soon.
I'm glad you agree.
Didn't Ronald Reagan win an election with 49 states one time?
I don't know. I don't follow politics.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the criticism of things you've said in the last 24 hours, Mr. Trump. You were talking about how, as you so frequently say, we are losing to China, we are losing to Japan.
We used to win. We used to win in this country,
and now
we're losing.
Right.
We're losing to China, we're losing to Japan,
right.
We're losing to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So you were talking about on this stump speech, you were talking about how your negotiating skills are going to get us out of that quagmire, and here's a bit of the tape.
I'm used to, you know, dealing with killers, people that go, I mean, you know, negotiating with Japan, negotiating with China. When these people walk in the room, they don't say, "Oh, hello, how's the weather? It's so beautiful outside. Isn't it lovely? How are the Yankees doing? Oh, they're doing wonderful. Great." They say, "We want deal."
That's right.
Wow.
That's what they do. They're going to say, "We want deal. We no likey, no dealy," is what they say.
Okay, but again, you're making it sound like they don't speak English. Obviously, the people that we're negotiating with in Japan, they speak English. I mean, you're making fun
just
of them with impression of broken
just
English.
Barely. They speak English.
Okay.
Really?
Mr. Trump.
Sit down.
We're on the radio, sir. You're not even looking at us.
I didn't call on you.
Okay, but we're doing an interview with you, Mr. Trump. But you can see how it's offensive to make fun of their English-speaking skills. What's the point of that? Like, why do you need to do that? Isn't it more important what they're saying rather than your perceived comments
about— Listen, Megyn Kelly, I'm not politically correct. I just tell the truth.
Right,
When you talk to Chinese negotiators— An hour later, you want to talk to him all over again.
That's just okay.
He's just making dumb, stereotypical jokes now at this point.
Although that was pretty good.
All right.
Pretty,
so the other controversy.
A Chinese negotiator, businessman, parked in front of my Trump Tower illegally. Uh-huh. The police came. They gave him a ticket. And they got a shirt back. It was laundered.
Okay. Again, you're just making jokes. And people want you to take this stuff seriously.
These things all happen.
Nope.
And I'm telling you because it's the truth. It's as real as my hair.
Speaking of your hair, thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Trump. Are you tired of people making fun of that obvious toupee on the top of your head?
First of all, it's real. My hair is real.
Right.
Just like the truth that I speak is real.
But did you have to call that woman up to the stage and have her touch
Megyn
it?
Sit down, Megyn Kelly. No one called on you.
I'm Allie, and I'm just asking a question.
I did ask a woman up on stage to touch my hair because she obviously wanted to.
Was that appropriate?
May not have been appropriate, but it sure was fun for all of us.
All right. Here's the tape of that exchange again from the podium on the campaign trail.
I don't wear a toupee. It's my hair. I swear. Come here. You have to do an inspection here. This is getting crazy. This is crazy. Just real quick. We don't want to mess it up too much because I do use hairspray. That I say. Come. Is it mine? Look.
Is it mine?
Say it, please.
All right, now down here.
Yes, I believe it is.
Thank you. And have I ever met you before?
No. No, you haven't.
But you're very nice. Thank you. Nice to meet you. Somebody's got a very nice wife. I don't know who she is, but she's got a very nice wife.
Well, let's hit on her while we're at it. It's just—it's like you're doing
totally
a magic show.
I would totally nail her after she touched my hair.
But are you being presidential or are you doing a traveling circus act? What's going on, Mr. Trump?
I never met that woman before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She was a complete stranger.
Right.
And I made her card appear out of my hair.
I was going to say, why do you sound like a psychic or a magician
Eight
up there?
Eight of spades. Eight of spades came out of my hair. It was the card she chose.
Okay.
I'm going to be fun. What can I say? I'm going to be the fun president. I'm going to start a war with a lot of countries, and I'm going to invite Americans to touch my head. It's going to be a great 4 years, probably eight.
Now you're talking about two terms.
Of course. Why wouldn't I? I'm going to make America win. We're going to win again with me as president.
Right.
Okay. And there's going to be a lot of good hair fondling.
All right. All right, good luck.
All right, you too.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's mindless. It is.
What?
I'm sorry.
Take another run.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I still don't know what he was trying to say.
I don't know what he was trying to say either.
It's you.
Doesn't say what?
It's you. That was you.
That wasn't me.
Tell me about next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, Ralph.
Oh, just America's Sweethearts are back on the show. Our favorite people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah,
the little lovebirds.
Sarah Shahi and her delicious husband, Steve Howard. Mm-hmm. I hear you see him now. He's massive. He's yoked. Yeah. He's powerful. He's manly. Whatever with Sarah Shahi, bring him in. That's what I'm saying. We're shots with him. Watch the sparks fly.
Pretty fun. We'll be talking Person of Interest, Ray Donovan, Shameless, all that good stuff with our guests coming up right after 9. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
It's all about the Biebs, man. All about the Biebs.
Big day for the Biebs today.
No treble. I'm all about the Biebs.
Come on.
He's got a new song. Finally, new music from the Biebs. How long have we been waiting? He's been threatening us with this for months, years.
Yeah, I heard it's been 3 years since his last album.
Yeah. Well, he's got a new one coming out apparently, I want to say the end of August. All I know is the first single came out today. Well, he had a single a little bit earlier. He did a single with Skrillex and Diplo called Where Are You Now? His new single is called What Do You Mean? He's only going to write question songs from now on, apparently. That's all he's focusing on. This is also from Skrillex and the Biebs. What Do You Mean? A little Caribbean flair, a little Jamaican jaunt. It's got a little laid back, just in time for Labor Day, the kind of summer song where you want to kick back in a hammock and crack open a Corona or a Red Stripe, man. Yeah, yeah, man. Here's the new song, What Do You Mean?
Do you mean? Oh, when you nod your head yes, but you want to say no. What do you mean? Hey, yeah, when you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go. What
yeah.
do you mean?
questions. Deep ones. Why is it not surprising me that Bieber's confused? What does it mean? What do you mean when you say go, but you're shaking your head? What do you mean?
Just confused.
I don't need it, but I don't hate it.
It's nothing. It's the candy corn of music. It's just
oh, fine. That's harsh.
It's just candy pointless, corn music. Pointless. Oof. What do you mean when you shake your head no, but you say yes and you want to go? It's just rhyming words, just sticking them together. It's just nothing.
He's putting himself out there, man.
He's
his
not.
Heart. He's putting his heart
sounds
out
like he's
there.
Working things insane. Out he's as he needs
crap. He makes Taylor Swift look like Joan Baez. This is just madness. The pop good music reference. Blows. Carole King, pick a woman who can write good songs.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
He's the only one that comes to mind.
Just there used to be just
what do you mean?
I don't know, I just need to rub up against Dave Grohl for a while and feel better.
Who doesn't?
Hey, I don't know if you heard or not, but Oxford Dictionary, they announced their new words. I was pretty proud. Pretty proud that one of my faves is in there.
One of your faves?
Yeah. Beer o'clock. Beer o'clock's now in the dictionary.
Is it really?
Yeah. Hey, dude, what time is it? I don't know. Beer o'clock? Yeah. Right, bro? It's got to be beer o'clock somewhere. Ah! Cake stand. Party ball. Beer o'clock. What? So Oxford Dictionary should just go kill itself.
How does a dictionary kill itself?
I don't know, but we got to find a way.
I would love to have video of that meeting where people were trying to explain to each other what beer o'clock
is. I say, Nigel, it's time for us to add our words to the Oxford Dictionary. I have a list here. Yeah, I'm just putting this one up for nomination. I would like to see what the room thinks. I think beer o'clock would be just smashing. Anyone else? Anyone else backing you up on beer o'clock?
I believe, Ralph. They added wine o'clock as well.
Don't you do that. I got no place else to go. Don't you do that, sir.
But isn't the dictionary's job to reflect popular usage? And
listen,
people say beer o'clock.
You son of a bitch.
They're not making a judgment call on whether it's good or bad or stupid. They're just saying people use it.
Why are you encouraging the death of civilization? Why are you
hastening it? I'm not encouraging it. I'm saying that I think you're asking the dictionary to do something different than what it's supposed to do, which is to reflect current usage.
Look,
that's
beer
all
o'clock,
they're trying to do.
If they had put it in 1995 when people were saying it, then I could get behind it. Wait, how random is that? Now sometimes, that they put beer o'clock in. First of all, Cat Corp is furious that margarita o'clock is
in.
Yeah,
true.
So that's got to be
that's true. That's a problem.
It does seem like it took a lot longer for that expression to make the dictionary than a lot of other ones that they seem to get to the tech ones a lot faster.
Awesome sauce?
No.
Yep.
No.
No.
Please enjoy.
No.
Awesome sauce?
Are they trying to hip it up? Are they trying to relate to younger people in any way?
I think they're looking for words that have been around long enough that they believe they're sticking.
That's such
and
a bean
awesome
too.
Sauce.
That's such a bean.
Exists.
Bean joke.
I love awesome sauce.
Bean uses
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
I love it.
Here's where he loves it.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Bean likes his awesome sauce.
No one can see what you do.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
They know.
That's why I'm still on the job.
This
is right where Bean takes the awesome sauce. Right. Right in this region right there.
I'd like to see a picture of that in the dictionary.
There is.
Awesome sauce.
It's a line drawing. Just an ink line drawing of Bean's face.
I like it.
The big arrow. Awesome sauce. Target. Brain fart. Brain fart.
You got a problem with that, Kevin? Brain fart?
Temporary mental lapse or failure to reason correctly. See Kevin. Is the official... the official...
Wow. We both
definition.
Made the dictionary.
How dare you?
Butt dial, fat shame, fur baby. As a person's pet, fur baby. That's my fur baby.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. Anyone? I don't know that word.
Swatting.
I haven't heard that expression.
Swatting.
Oh, swatting's a thing.
Where you call 911, you make a hoax call, and it forces the SWAT team to come out to a location.
Right.
And lastly, MacGyver. To repair or invent something in an improvised way using the items at hand. MacGyver. Richard Dean Anderson right now is doing the fist pump, skating backwards.
He's skating?
Yeah, he plays a lot of hockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your new words. Use them in good health, America. because it's beer o'clock.
I just want to bring up the Bean is excited, genuinely excited every year when this comes around.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Talk about the dictionary words.
Look.
Very excited. It's
two-thirds Christmas.
Yes.
All over again. Right, it's like opening up a two-thirds Christmas present.
That's right.
From the dictionary. Well, he takes his awesome sauce. Today's celebrity birthdays. Luis Guzman. 59 years old today. Very funny and talented actor. Daniel Stern. He's 58. Jennifer Coolidge, you remember her, Stifler's mom, as well as star of many Christopher Guest comedies. Very talented lady. Shania Twain's 50. Jack Black and Jason Priestley both celebrate their 46th birthdays today. Armie Hammer's 29. Man, that Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
He's hard to get over, quite frankly.
I hear you.
Remember in Facebook movie? Social Network? There was two of them. There was two Armie Hammers. It was almost too much. Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine, 29 years old today. And Honey Mother Lovin' Boo Boo. Honey Boo Boo, 10 years old today.
A dollar makes me holler, Honey Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm. You better redneckignize.
Right.
How come that's not in the dictionary, Oxford? You're slacking. Redneckignize isn't in there. Get to work. I say, Sarah, what about redneckignize?
I like it. Let's put it in.
Freaking Brits. Don't get me started. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of booze in this room.
Yep. Party is on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. The happiest couple in the world,
what?
Actress Sarah Shahi in studio with us, along with her beautiful husband, Steve Howie. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Yay.
Quite beautiful. Sarah, of course, you probably know and love from, among other things, Person of Interest, soon to be seen on Ray Donovan, Steve from Shameless, and a bunch of other work over the years. How long have you guys been married, by the way?
Ooh.
That's
a good question.
We've been married...
Six?
Six or 7 years
together,
already?
Six years. We've been together 13 years.
It's a little bit gross how much in love you guys still appear to be.
Yeah. We're good actors.
Think it's gross, too. we are.
We get it done.
We get it done.
We get it done.
And recently you did. Recently? Twins, right?
Oh, Lisa May, you look a little different.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to come at her like
Sarah.
We haven't even had a shot yet.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys know what to expect at this point.
Yes,
hi, Allie.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Sorry,
Dave. And he's sober. Oh, jeez.
Again, pre-shots. This is the language we're getting from Steve.
Wow.
You can't take him anywhere.
So Allie, how long have you been here?
About 5 months, 6 months?
5 months. Yeah. Almost as old as our twins. March 1st, was that your start date?
Around, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
was that
good.
Your baby's start date?
It was. Yeah, that was the day.
Is
the
your
water
baby going to be picked up for another season?
My babies, are they going to be picked up for another season?
Yeah. We're
going to keep them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to keep them. We like them. They're cute.
They're pretty cute. They're annoying, but they're cute.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What has it been like? A lot of people, Kevin has lived through surviving twins as babies.
It's not over yet.
Define surviving.
Exactly. Who knows? Yeah. That's why he needs to start drinking.
That's correct.
That's why you need to just open up the bottle. Yeah.
I understand if you have a baby, it's a lot of work. If you have two at the same time, it's like five times as much work is what I've been told. It's not just twice as much.
It's suicidal.
This is why people drive into lakes. With their kids.
No, it's true.
It makes sense now why they why are the babies laying down and they're wet? I drowned them.
Right, yeah.
We get it.
All right. Where are they right now? I think we need to find out.
Yeah,
they're not wet. They're not laying down. They're being taken well care of.
All right, good. They're with people.
Yeah, they're with people. We got peeps.
You okay?
But I have days, especially when Steve's out of town.
Steve, you all right?
I'm good.
He needs a shot, guys.
He does need
this segment is called Shots with Shahi for damn sakes.
Shots with Shahi.
Shots with Shahi.
We haven't even gotten to the shots yet. Are you guys bi-coastal? Or is all your work in either New York or L.A. together?
Yeah, no. I'm going back to POI, so I'm going to have to go back to New York. So we are going to be bi-coastal.
Are you just going to split the babies up and each one will have one? Is that how it's going
to be? God, I wish. If Steve could only lactate.
Let's get them drinking. I don't know the process, but we'll try.
They're all going to come with me. Everyone comes with me, you know, because okay. I'm boob feeding them. And then we have
a six-year-old boy. I'm keeping him. He goes to school.
Okay.
And then Sarah, yeah, she gets the babies.
Okay.
She's got the boob milk. And then, but I, you know, I shave my nipples before they pacify me. I'm not a monster. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want them to get like, you know, chest pubes in their mouth.
Chest pubes. That's so gross.
How did Shots with Shahi begin on the Kevin and Bean Show?
How did it begin?
I remember you guys, you wanted me to come on the air for something. I don't know, talk about. I don't know if it was Fairly Legal or...
Yeah, maybe it was Fairly Legal. That was USA?
That was USA.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
The United States of America. And then I said something, and it was a joke. I was like, yeah, only if you guys have tequila for me. And it was a joke. And the next thing I know, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and you guys have like three different kinds of Patron.
That's how
they
do it.
Like,
look.
And I thought it was a joke. And then... we all just got tossed.
People can ask for 1,000 things, but if you ask for alcohol, we've got that.
You've got that. And then I keep hearing that people actually liked it.
I hear from both sides. Some people love it.
And some people don't so much?
Well, I mean...
Just bust it out. Right. Let's really give them something to hate now.
Yeah, it got a little sloppy last time, but I think we're okay.
For all you haters out there, now you're really going to get mad.
So, am I going to get my salad tossed? What did you say?
Bird?
Good morning.
Wow, Sarah, this may be a dumb question, but you're allowed to do shots even when you're breastfeeding?
Yeah. Dump that pump. Come on.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids need to sleep, Dean.
You know what? It's medicinal. It's medicinal. I can't get this bottle up. Yeah, that whole pump and dump thing, I don't do that. What's good for the goose?
That's what I do. That's how we've been married so long.
You pump and dump.
I pump and dump.
While Kevin is opening up the bottle, Sarah, I want to ask you, we're pretty far into this Ray Donovan season. We still haven't seen you. Yeah. Is this a myth that you're going to be on, or eventually are we going to see your face?
You are going to see me. You are going to see my face.
Every time I watch it, I think, how is she going to play into what role are you going to?
Yeah, I play an Armenian pop star. I'm like the Armenian Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Kevin,
you should be pouring by now.
Yeah, you should be. What's wrong with you?
I was listening to the conversation.
How do you know, Bean? That was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, he can see.
Oh, okay.
All right, so that's cool, being on Ray Donovan. That's awesome.
She has pre-printed shot glasses.
Yeah, there's this amazing fan who actually made shots with Shahi shot glasses.
Wow.
Are you doing this as well?
Hell yeah, he is, man. We're married. We're effing married.
Put your fingers in the air.
That may be a little too much.
Tell the
world where it can kiss.
You'll
be happy to know that Kevin and Allie did Uber in today, in case anyone's concerned.
Oh, and you've got your Grey Goose. Great. Allie?
I'll do the vodka.
You want to do vodka?
Sure.
Good girl.
Here's what happens when Sarah starts talking about coming in. There's a lot of messages going back and forth.
Messages where?
What?
Between
you and us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's like, what are we drinking? What day? Oh, I can't come that day, but we got to come that day. But what are we drinking? You guys got to all drink. And so many emails and tweets and everything, just trying to line this up so that we do it right.
Did you shoot yours already?
I didn't. No, I don't have it.
Oh, okay. You don't have
it. Right, we can do the first one on the air, and then you guys can catch up during the break, and then we'll come back with some more conversation.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Toast, everybody.
Okay.
There it is.
Happy New Year.
First of the shot. Hey, Chip, do we have any kind of jingle of production or anything
for
this?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
K-Rock,
2015. Shots. Shots. Yeah.
Cheers. Salud.
Oh, my God.
Salud.
Here we go. Everybody, down the hatch. Right. It's a good start, you guys.
5 o'clock somewhere, right?
It's a good start. Steve, we just got some of that hair back on your chest. Yeah, How about that?
I feel it growing.
Sarah is here. Steve is here. We'll take a break, come back. More Shots with Shahi right after this on K-Rock.
Me too.
Can we talk about it at all?
Nope. No, you can't.
Why?
Because there's just more crap than you know.
We're on you guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ on the Kevin and Bean Show. The voices of Sarah Shahi in studio and her delightful husband, Steve Howie. How many shots you guys do during the break there?
18 straight out of Compton.
I had three. I just want to say, you know what? I appreciate you guys so much because I grew up with you. I'm from L.A. And I just want all the people out there who, if you are driving, roll down your windows and put your middle fingers in the air and honk.
Yeah.
Because then if you see other people having the middle finger in the air out the window and honking, you know you're listening to K-Rock and Kevin and Bean.
But
a Los Angeles institution.
That's right. With the new Lisa Mae, Ally McKay, bigger and better and more awesome.
Like, ruined it. I don't think we need to really bring that up. But listen, Sarah, what's going on with you, girlfriend?
What's going on with me?
I feel like you are busting out today. I feel like you have been.
I did not pump before I walked in the studio, and
same.
I should have.
Same. That's not what I meant. I feel like you've been looking forward to this visit because you have been at home with babies for the last 3 months. And how great is this to get out of the house? And 6 months, okay. Get out of the house and be able to throw some shots back at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice. You know, here's the thing. I dropped an extra egg. I didn't mean to, but it happened.
Right.
And when we were – do you remember it was Comic-Con last year?
Yes.
When you guys interviewed me in the hotel and you thought I was wasted, but I wasn't. I was pregnant.
That's debatable.
I was pregnant.
That was you not wasted?
That was me not
that
wasted.
That was super hormonal, right?
Wow. That was super hormonal, exactly. And
so you were pregnant then. Wow.
Yeah. It was like June 17th when Steve and I did it and I – yeah. Anyway,
we all understand how that works.
How it works. So, anyway, but no, you know what, Bean, to answer your question, I'm very happy to be here. I love you guys. We got, you know, we go back.
We go back.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Life that you guys first had me on? Was it Life or was it?
It may have been Life.
It could have been, yeah, because we were big fans of that
Life.
Show.
Yeah.
It certainly could have been, yeah.
And that was before...
That was before Fairly Legal.
Yeah, so it may have been Life, yeah.
And I remember how I came into the studio was because I think it was Life. You guys, you wanted me... I was supposed to do these radio tours to promote the show, and I accidentally slept in. And so we didn't talk, and I'm not sure how that messes up your day.
It messes it up a lot.
Okay. Sorry.
Such an accurate thing to do.
And I felt so bad that I called my publicist and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in the studio. So that was my way of like making amends to you guys was coming in the studio and then, you know, and then
the
love fest began and you know, it's been happily ever after ever since.
Yeah, and then you joined Person of Interest, and I was very scared at that because I love that show.
You thought I was going to mess it up?
I was like, do not mess up my show.
Oh,
that's Chris Kevin's show.
Yeah. I was like,
look
Sarah.
Look at that vote of confidence.
I was saying, Sarah, I love you, but I also love the show, so don't ruin it.
Do you still love the show?
I still love the show.
I didn't watch last year at all.
It's really good. It's really good. It's a good show. I watched it. I was a fan, too.
I watched every episode, and every episode they hint that your character's coming back.
Yeah.
And,
I'm coming back.
Shaw's back.
Weren't you shot multiple times?
I was, man.
I thought I was deader
than dead.
We all did.
Yeah, I thought I was dead. And then they did some trickery. And
some shenanigans.
Some make-believe.
Got shot multiple times. He came back.
That's
real life.
It's real life.
Straight out of Compton. And
Kevin, serve up another shot to Kevin while I ask this question,
right.
And that is, and this is a question for both of our guests here. You're both young and famous and good looking,
and
I want to know, does that ever create problems with fans of your spouse? You ever run into, for instance, Steve, people who are convinced they're going to steal Sarah away from you, and vice versa, Sarah? Do you run into girls who are just in love with Steve and can't wait to step over your dead body to get to him?
Yes.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. And let me tell you something about the people who have not seen my husband right now. This man has been working out, hitting it hard in the gym. He had to do it for a role. He just wrapped a movie in San Francisco. Him and Justin Chatwin reunited. He likes looking good for his wife and his family.
Yeah.
His arms need their own Twitter page.
All
so
right.
He's yoked. Like it's ridiculous.
I'm gonna get that started today.
Right?
And the ladies like him. And you know what? I'm proud. I like it.
The dudes like me too.
The dudes like you too. Yeah, Ralph definitely had a thing for you or Kevin or
I'm super attracted to you.
You know, it's like
I'm just gonna put that out there.
All right, so Steve, what about you then? Because when you know wifey's in Maxim or something like that, is that awkward for you to know how many guys are reaching out to her all the time on the internet and stuff
you know,
and loving her?
Yeah, you know, it's It just comes with the territory. It's like as long as we're good and we're having a good time, I don't have any problem with it. But yeah, I mean, look, this is I got a hot wife, right?
Right. You do.
But
she's got a hot husband.
Exactly.
And it just it's fun because, you know, I like the attention that she gets because it makes me feel like, oh, okay, I did something good. You know what I mean? It's like if you're driving, this is maybe a horrible analogy.
No, I want to hear it now.
But oh, jeez.
But if you,
oh, God.
But if you're driving.
If you've got, like, you know, a nice, you know, let's just say like a GTO and you're, you know, riding down the street and you're not getting any looks, you're like, you got to, this is not good. You got to, like, you know, handle your ride.
Right. You should get better rims.
Right?
Right?
I'm not positive. I don't know what's going.
I'm just saying.
I'm not sure.
My hoopty is on point. It's getting okay. stairs. People want to be right. inside it. And right. I'm.
Sarah.
It's mine.
You are his hoopty.
I'm his hoopty.
Right.
I've never been told anything more
romantic.
I don't
know. I'm just saying. Like, I'm just saying that it is a validation on my taste because of her fans.
That is a very true. That's a very cool way to explain it.
Oh my God, I love them so
I
much.
I second everything he said.
Yes, you're yeah. confident enough in your relationship that you're not worried about anyone stealing her away.
I don't think even Steve
we're not
knew
going anywhere.
Where he was going with that.
I don't think that's surprised.
Well, four shots in.
Yeah.
Honey, you didn't finish.
I know. I don't
you need
want to
finish.
I don't. I'm getting. Nice
you're slowing
and,
down, guys.
You're getting
I'm
nice
getting slowing down.
That's a shot. That's you don't take half.
You can't.
Shots
you can't.
Shots.
To be fair, that shot.
It's a pretty big shot.
Yeah, Sarah keeps filling it right up to the top.
Yeah.
I just finished it.
Who made it?
Do you know who made this, or did we?
You know, I don't, and I should know who made this, but she's a fan.
Shot glasses.
Yes, they're shot glasses that say shots with Shahi,
yeah,
and one of them has the wonderful
a girl.
Outline.
She's really cool. She sends a bunch of stuff. Like
I feel
baby
like her
clothes.
Name is Rachel, but I'm not sure.
No.
Maybe it's Jennifer.
Awesome.
I don't know, but she's awesome.
Megan.
Where did you guys meet 13 years ago?
Reba. I was a guest star.
On the TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
literally
no.
not
Reba's
on top of the
kitchen,
person.
Randomly.
But
in her house.
And it was so funny because we were talking about this the other day, how I literally walked out of the wardrobe trailer and ran into his chest because he's just so massive.
Mm-hmm. And,
tell me.
What are we talking about?
And,
your chest?
Your chest.
Oh, my chest.
Yep,
just
everything.
Your chest.
Yep. And then I remember I called my girlfriend and I went, oh, God, I just ran into this guy. I don't know who he is, but I hope he's working on the same show that I'm guest starring on this week. And then one of the first – and then he tells the story. He's like, I saw your ass walk by.
But,
he's like
– but this is radio. This is you can't.
No,
say.
You can say ass.
You can say ass.
I think you can say ass.
Yeah.
What? I've watched
Private Parts enough to know
I was in the office and she walked by and then her ass followed and
sure.
I was like, "Who is that?"
Sure.
I want that.
And then, it was first look mutual attraction.
I think it was love at first sight. I really do.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was love at first
it
sight.
It really
and
was.
How soon did you know after a date that that was it?
She hated me.
What?
Did you hate
him? I didn't. You know what it was?
I would say certain things like boo.
Okay,
and she's
okay.
Like, she's
he
like,
used
don't
this,
say boo.
No, this is what he did. Let me tell you something.
I got to be honest. I don't think you could pull off boo.
But
hold on. Don't do boo or bae.
But you know what saved me? You know what saved me? Is that on our first date, I was asking
Steve
her all these questions. Whoa, 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 let him finish.
Wait. I was going to use it. Can I use the D word?
No, you can say the D word.
It depends on who you're talking to, our lawyers or us.
Because they're going to, she's going to like cut it. You know,
okay,
I want. So we went on this date.
He was a jerk.
Wait, stop.
He was a jerk.
Stop.
How about
I want to say the one thing.
I want to finish though. I want to, yes, you can say that. But really quickly, Steve was a D bag
right.
when I first met him.
Well done.
Was not into D-bags. And so I kind of called him out on that stuff. I'm like, why are you being such a D right
but
now?
But you're in the D's now. All right. Go ahead.
And anyway, and so he, and there was, we went to his, I went to his apartment one night and we're supposed to watch
Whoa.
Donnie Darko.
Come on.
And Donnie Darko.
Is that a euphemism or is the actual movie?
That's the actual movie.
That's how he that's
Kevin
you
calls
in?
His
that's
Lenny Kravitz.
I like her.
How dare you?
I like her.
That's a good
I like
joke.
Her.
Yes.
I like her.
We all do.
I like her.
We all
I like
do.
Her.
Right.
So,
all right. Donnie Darko.
Okay. So I was watching, we were trying to watch Donnie Darko, and that didn't happen for obvious reasons. And mm-hmm. then
he bought me the DVD later, like later on in the week when I was still guest starring that week because it takes 7 days, whatever, and to film it. And he bought me the DVD because we never finished the movie. And he just kind of threw it at me and walked off. And I'm like, that's rude.
I gave it to him.
No, no, no. He didn't give it to me. He literally like shoved it in my arm and then like walked off.
That takes a little of the romance out.
Like, wow. And I was just like, what the F? And I'm like, that's weird. So I ran up to him and I kind of punched him in the arm and I went, hey, that was nice. I'm going to say thank you. And you say you're welcome.
Oh my God, I love this dynamic so much.
And that was, and yeah, so he was a bit of a D, but it turned out that it was because, like, he knew. Okay, now tell your side, honey.
You know, I was just going to say, on our first date, I said to her, either you're really smart or you're tragically stupid. I don't know which it is, but I want to find out.
That's so romantic.
But I want to find out. I want to find out either if you're just like an idiot or just this genius. And then I gave her like
which is she?
I gave you a piggy. I'm still figuring it out. And I gave her a piggyback to her
truck.
Car. You had this like Ford Ranger, and then she got into the truck and
so romantic.
And
that's
she
so beautiful.
I looked at
so
me.
Hard.
That's so
was
beautiful.
Like,
that is beautiful.
That's
right?
Truly beautiful.
It was stupid, but she, no,
okay,
no, no.
Can't,
we just had a bucket of water thrown here.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. But
listen, I can't believe. We're out of time, I'm sorry to say.
I'm sorry to say that, too.
Put your middle fingers in the air and honk your horn.
Yeah.
That's beep, beep. The point, I think.
Steve, Shameless comes back January 17th on Showtime.
Yes, sir. Yes,
congratulations.
Sir.
Congratulations.
Thank
very
you very much. Season 6. It's going to be a really good season. William H. Macy is nominated for an Emmy this year. We're really excited about
best.
That.
He's
yeah.
the best.
He's
a he's, the
best. He's an American treasure of American cinema and TV. I'm a little tipsy. It's all
Sarah,
good.
We will see you soon on Ray Donovan, and also at some point on the next season, A Person of Interest.
That's
as well.
Right, Jim Caviezel, very soft talker, the softest talker
he's a
of
mumbler.
Them all.
He's a mumbler.
Yeah.
How many episodes of Ray Donovan are you on?
I'm just on one.
One.
I just do one, but it's a big one. It's a big one.
Do you get to with Ray?
No.
Mickey?
No.
None
Ray or Mickey?
Bunch? Bunchy?
No.
Bunchy.
None of them.
Bunch.
He's
Terry?
Bunch.
None of them.
He's my friend, Bunch.
I love
Bunch.
Bunchy.
Is cool. Bunch is
my
cool.
My favorite
you
show.
Dash Mihawk is a very good actor.
He's
a buddy of mine.
He's
so
my
good in that
favorite.
Character. Yeah.
I love Bunchy
great.
So much.
All right, guys. We'll have to continue this party off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Sarah Shahi along with Steve Howie. So much fun to have you guys. Thanks for coming back in for Shots with Shahi. We loved it.
Yeah.
One of the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:46.
Kevin, under the circumstances, you
sound pretty good, right?
Dude. Yeah, you really do. You sound like you're holding it together for like another 5 minutes. Well done, sir.
So
what's
not.
The difference between this Kevin and the other Kevin? That's what I'm asking.
How dare you, sir?
This E has equals quite a few MC shots. Squared.
Exactly.
Ish.
Ralph, welcome to the party.
Thank
Time
you.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Those kids are crazy.
They're awesome. Don't you love them together?
They're adorable.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard, you know, if you have a major crush on Sarah Shahi like we all do.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to accept that she's married.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet Steve, you're like, all right, I get it. It's fine. Yep. If I can't have her,
the exact same thing.
It's
he's
the
awesome.
Only guy who should is that guy.
He's basically Thor. Am I right?
He's Thor.
Right?
He would be when I was done with him.
Wow. That's something.
And Allie, you were sitting there going, I'll take either one of them, right? I mean,
right?
You can't lose in that
any
deal.
Day of the week.
Just throw a dart, man.
Good night.
I think they may both have been on cable for too long.
Yes,
maybe.
Well.
Maybe they're used to a cable sensibility.
Sure.
Versus a broadcast medium.
There was that.
Yes. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
They weren't FCC ready, maybe, when they sat down this morning.
They have relaxed attitudes with their language.
It kept Chip busy with her finger on the button, I'll tell you that.
At best. And she has to jump up every time and hit that button with both of her hands.
I'm quite winded, Ralph.
I can imagine you are.
Well, it was a lot of fun. We don't do it often, but Shots with Shahi is one of my favorite days of the year.
Yes, indeed. Days of the year. Big annual Shots with Shahi show.
Coming up with 2/3 Shots with Shahi.
Oh, can you imagine when he starts counting down? It's gonna be a nightmare. All right, let's hit the showbiz news. For those of you who have been waiting for Mariah Carey to write her book, well, you're in luck.
Are those people
out
there?
I'm not hearing any of those people. Hmm. They're not. They don't seem too happy. She is writing a book, a children's book, called All I Want for Christmas Is You. She's turning her holiday classic song into a children's book. She said she's thrilled to be able to bring the story of the song to new generations of families. Ah, this makes written book 1, read book 0 for Mariah. The score, if you're keeping the score at home. Fans can look forward to a tale about a little girl who wants a puppy for Christmas. Aww.
Oh,
that's cute.
I love that.
Aww. I hope she gets it.
Me too.
Mariah's also got a TV movie on the works called Mariah Carey's Christmas Project. I'm hoping that's a working title. It doesn't really give me the warm, fuzzy holiday feeling. But she's going to direct it. Yeah. People are predicting it will be the Samurai Cop of Christmas movies.
I hope so.
Looking for that. Kevin loves wax museums. We all know that.
Well, they're stupid and terrible, and they don't look at all like the people they're trying to look like.
This news, I think, will make him very happy. The San Francisco Madame Tussauds Wax Museum has announced their first ever cat wax work, Grumpy Cat. That's right, Grumpy Cat.
You
will be available for you to pose next to and stroke and make all grumpy. He's going to be so grumpy. You know he's going to be grumpy? When I hit him with a ball-peen hammer. That's what's going to make Grumpy Cat grumpy. Just the wax one, though.
It's funny because I hate the wax museum. You hate Grumpy Cat.
Oh, it's a perfect storm. You and I can go and just projectile vomit all over that exhibit.
I still don't understand.
I could do that right now.
Kevin hates wax museums so much because...
Because they don't look anything
but they
like
really do.
But they
look,
don't.
You could stand next to a picture... You could stand next to Nicki Minaj and the Madame Tussauds, and you couldn't tell whether it was the real Nicki Minaj or not in the photograph.
I feel like the one you went to was so not the elite wax museum.
Yeah, I think you went to a low-rent wax museum and it colored your perception for life.
Yep. Time to revisit. You and me, Kev, we're going to go down to Madame Tussauds there at Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah, I'm going to go to another wax museum.
We're going to.
I went to that one, and no one
No, you didn't.
No,
you did not go to that one.
No, you went to the Hollywood wax museum.
Right. Exactly. Very different.
Which is very different. The Hollywood Wax Museum, I believe, it's just a couple of busboys from a nearby restaurant slapping together chicken grease in the vague form of celebrities. I'm pretty sure it's not done by high-end quality wax specialists.
Can we make this happen?
No.
Yes. Kevin and I are going to mic up, and we're going to go into Madame Tussauds.
I like it.
Take the tour.
Couldn't be less
interesting. I'm going to turn him around.
Nope.
Kevin, would you be man enough to admit if you got there and they really did look so much like the celebrities?
Sure.
I think what Kevin also dislikes is the phenomenon of the attendees in these museums, where they throw their arms around the figure and they pose as if
take a picture.
They're taking a picture and they're bringing it home and they're going to fool people with the celebrities that they met.
Do they know it's not them?
I don't know. But I don't understand why people take their pictures with them either. I think it's an impressive art form. I think the artisans who put those figures together are impressive. They do impressive work. But I couldn't see getting my picture taken with a wax dummy of someone else.
Except for Nicki Minaj.
Except for Nicki Minaj.
She's on all fours. That was a terrible choice on their part.
That's all I'm going to do to Grumpy Cat. I'm going to get behind and go.
I was waiting.
That Jason Derulo, he's living the life.
He's popular.
TMZ spotted him and his entourage picking up several ladies and hopping into a black van. Sadly, they all had bags over their heads and zip ties around their wrists. No, I'm kidding.
Does it say that?
No, it doesn't. They were invited in, and the girls were thrilled to party with Jason Derulo because he's dreamy. And it's a chance to party with celebrities. You know, the ladies like that. A certain breed of lady likes that. The reason I like the story is that there's a bunch of friends there, and they're all hopping into the van. And one very unhappy fan got left behind as the door in the van closed. And she was left standing there on the street going, "Hey, what?
What about me?"
The mystery woman spouted off to TMZ that she's from Brazil. She came to Los Angeles at the request of Jason's manager and then was left behind and was livid when her friends and size started texting her as the vehicle rolled away.
Sucker!
I believe was the text. I think there's a legendary Kevin and Bean phone-in topic in this of things that your friends got into and you got frozen out of.
Oh, I like that.
Things you got left behind on.
Super cool events.
Super cool events and meeting up with people and having a good time. I remember I took a trip to Europe once with a buddy of mine. And we went to England, Scotland, and Ireland. And we were in Ireland. and we were in Galway on the west coast of Ireland. And I wanted to stay because I wanted to see more of Galway, and there was a music festival going on in the next town, Salt Hill. And he said, no, I want to go. I want to get to Scotland. I'm just going to get to Scotland. And I said, you go. Go to Scotland. I'm staying here, and I'll see you the next day. I'll catch the next ferry the next morning, and I will see you the following day. Just 12 hours different. So he moved on. I went to this festival. And long story short, I ended up meeting and drinking and going clubbing with the band The Commitments from the movie The Commitments.
Oh, shut up!
Yeah, yeah. I hung out with them. I saw their show, and then I went back for a picture with some of the Commitmentettes, those three hot chicks who were the singers in that band. I said, can I get a picture of the three of you? It'll make my friend really jealous when I see him tomorrow, because he was a big fan of the movie, too. And they said, no, we can't take a picture with you. I was like, ouch. All right. They said, what we can do, though, is have you come drink with us. And they grabbed me, and they threw me on the tour bus, and I met the band, and we went from pub to pub to pub until we closed them all.
That's a pretty good burn.
So the next day, I showed up in Scotland. I was like, so, here's what happened last night.
Oh, where was
here's
I?
Here's what you missed.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you. So, yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, me too. I love that film. And they were just as nice in person as they were in the film. And just as drunk. They kept saying, this is our American manager. So they were like making up stories about me as we were drinking. Today's celebrity birthdays, Luis Guzman, 59 years old. Today, Daniel Stern turns 48. Jennifer Coolidge, the lovely and talented, is 54. Shania Twain, speaking of lovely, 50 years old today. Jack Black is 46, as is Jason Priestley. Armie Hammer's 29. Not hammered. Armie Hammer. That's Kevin. Us. Kevin's Armie Hammer.
How dare you?
Armie Hammer is 29. Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine fame is 29. And Honey Boo Boo, Alana Thompson, celebrates her 10th birthday today.
Her favorite foods are Sketty and butter.
She does love Sketty and butter.
She does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Let's start that song.
Yeah. That's it. I'm out. I'm gonna start song and not have no more to say, Pop Lock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I mean, that was it.
Let's start the song.
That's all you had, trust me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
He's doubled up.
Yeah, because he knows I'm right. He was just empty after that.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
You know you're scary bad, right?
This one seems to be about queer.
Sitting on the floor.
Hack!
And I need another
hit. Come on, get up. I can't get up off the floor.
Get up, Kevin.
I can't get up because I was trying to say more words, but no brain inside the words would have being all the things you're saying.
Stupid, but we like it.
This one seems to be about to end.
Keep on believing.
I don't have another cent.
Whoa, did you feel that? I think our periods just synchronized.
But the ball got that joint.
No way.
Way.
Just pass it around. There's no hope with Joe. But the ball got that joint, my friend.
Don't do drugs.
Piper down over here.
You guys, hats off to you guys. Well done. Beautifully done. Well executed.
Leave Donald Trump alone. Leave Donald Trump. Leave him alone. Yeah. Period. Bye.
Sorry, we're out of time.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Okay, I'm just gonna go. This is so bad. How do you hang up? How do you make it stop? It. Don't tell me you're bored. I don't know how to. Do you just push a button? Thanks. You hang up. Really?
No more.